If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, wanna party on my...
Now that's it. I won't put up with that. It's not necessary. I will not put up with this. We'll go into music and we'll play records. We will not talk. I won't tolerate it. We won't have any more of that. You're educated people. You're nice people. You are people. You're not animals. And for heaven's sakes, act like it. I will not put up with any more of this foolishness. We will go into records and I swear we'll play records the rest of the afternoon.
That's what she said.
What the heck is up with that?
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with like and I lick said, nipples and lick and send you. Where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Neither.
Hey, how about a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
And now.
Ellen, please, I just got home. Don't rush me.
Our feature presentation.
What was that a commercial for? I always forget. Aspirin or something?
I think it was a parody spot, yeah. But for
it
aspirin,
was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was real. I thought it was like the '50s when that was acceptable. good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Monday, the 12th of March. Kapow pow.
Those were the good old days when you didn't have to treat women like people. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. You've missed those, huh?
Those were the good days, were they?
They sure were, man. Mike, you're with me on that, right? When they used to be in line, they used to know what their job was to make dinner and have babies, right?
Yeah, they used to behave properly.
Exactly.
Bean knows you can go to Mike for that.
They're just all uppity now, you know?
I'm guessing that a lot of stuff went on that we don't know about. Like, they were spitting in their husband's food and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
They found a way.
Sure they did.
I'm sure they did.
Well, you're giving them credit for being smart, but okay.
Sometimes I wonder why it is that women instantly hate Bean. And
that's a great question.
I can't put my finger on it because we'll get in an elevator or something. They just look at him like with daggers. He hasn't even said anything yet, but he just oozes, you know,
hate.
Women hate. So
yes.
They all hate him back, and it's not a good relationship.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
You need to go to therapy with all women, Bean, one at a time.
I'd like that.
You think you would.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. You just played a To Catch a Predator piece a second ago in your open.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to play this because I haven't had time yet, but To Catch a Predator is one of the best shows ever. And
sure is.
These are the guys that are looking for 12, 13, 14-year-old girls online, and then they ask them to come to a house, and then they, you know, he comes out, Chris Hansen comes out and mocks them for a while, and then they run out the front door and get tasered, and then they get arrested.
Yeah.
So it's good times for all. This is an actor and an actress playing, reading what these two people were chatting back and forth. So the guy was saying what the guy says, and then the girl chatted back online what the girl says. And it's so funny to hear them talking about the show To Catch a Predator.
Well, this is the thing. Since this show has been on now for a couple of years and gets increasingly more popular every year, is that it seems like, am I lying if I say like 20% of the guys now that go to these houses to have sex with underage boys and girls have seen the show. It occurs to them ahead of time, hey, maybe it's a sting. Maybe I should be careful. Yet they still go.
So here's the chat back and forth. This is what they wrote back and forth.
You ever watch Dateline? I was watching it yesterday.
Don't think so. Is it good?
Yeah, these TV personnel chat with men as kids and they ask them to meet them and show it on TV.
Oh.
It's pretty funny. You should watch it. But in this show, they send those people to jail for meeting a child.
I don't want you in trouble. How did they find out?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's what they chatted. The guy saw it yesterday, he said. And that was their chat back and forth. And that guy showed up and got busted by Dateline.
Yes. Hey, is there any kind of a Oscar or Emmy or Grammy or something that can be given to those voice actors?
Because for actors
they really do find the cream of the crop, don't they?
They brought it to life, didn't they? Really, you could just pick two people off the street that would do a better job than that.
But it's so bizarre, and Chris Hansen never fails to be amused by it, too.
Yep.
The guys think about, it's not like they're caught unawares. They know there's a show, and sometimes they know that the show is taping in their town. The word has gotten out on the internet. Somebody will find out, and they'll spread the word. Yet they still go. That's unbelievable to me.
The guy tells her that she should watch it because it's really funny. and then walks through the door and they arrest him.
Do you think he did that like he was testing her in some way?
Probably. He was hoping.
If he said that, that they would have to announce that that's what they were doing. There's some law.
Maybe.
Or
I don't know. I don't.
He's trying to get around entrapment or something, maybe.
I don't know what the laws are when it comes to that.
Well, he's clearly wrong. Whatever he thought it was.
Yes. And it's not the police that are doing these chats either. It's, it's advocacy groups.
Right.
It's a private group that does it, so they don't have the same rules of entrapment that the police would. But it's a great show, and it's working, and they air it all the time now. It used to be just a special, like a couple times a season, and now it's like every week to catch predators on. It's shocking to think about how many guys there are out there, you know, like that, too.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's really...
I mean, this is one TV show in one town over the course of 1 week. You know, multiply that by the people in the United States, and you can see you got yourself a problem.
See how they come at black people?
Oh, that's not what I meant at all.
It's not... It's mostly white people, unfortunately.
Yeah, actually.
This is the button next to that one.
All right!
That's what I was trying to do. Sorry. What? It's just a guy saying all right. That's all. He's just
what
are
you talking about?
Not talking about anything in particular.
Hey, by the way, Rodney got a star on the Walk of Fame on Friday.
Yes.
Finally.
Mike, you were there, right?
I was.
Mike had a microphone.
With the K-Rock microphones.
They were there, and this was said...
Captain.
Which we thought was odd. No. He actually recorded Rodney talking and receiving the award. And what was it that you just told me when I walked in? What was the line?
Oh, that was actually from his show.
Oh, it was from his show.
Yeah, from his show over the weekend, which was one of the funniest things I've ever heard him utter. He was talking about how he was brought to the ceremony in a special car, but he was reluctant to say what type of car it was. And after a little bit more of his witty banter to himself, he says, "All right, it was a Hummer."
I said he couldn't say because it was a dirty word. Oh, that's
my
awesome.
God.
Yeah.
Were a lot of people there, Mike?
Yeah, there was a ton of people
really?
There, actually. I was surprised.
Oh, good.
And there were, you know...
What?
It's Roddy, so you're always a little... You don't really know what you're going to get when you get there.
Right.
It was a pretty impressive collection of people back in the little roped-off area that were there to congratulate him.
That's the area.
Got a lot of famous friends.
If that was my entourage, I'd be pretty happy. Like...
Yeah, well, you know, all through the 80s especially and 90s, there were so many bands that were broken by Rodney, literally, I mean, for real. That's why we pushed to get him a star on the Walk of Fame. But having said that, come on.
It's Rodney.
He's a freak show. Right.
And I will say this, that as far as energy levels go in their delivery,
yeah,
Johnny Grant makes Buzz Aldrin look like Petros.
Oh, no.
You just want to kill yourself listening to that guy.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Well, he's a blowhard, that guy, and he loves himself some Johnny Grant.
Right.
And we can finally talk about him now because we won't ruin Rodney's chance of getting a star.
Because there's no chance you'll ever get one.
That guy's such a douche. He really is. He's just, oh, God, I hate him. All right, it's Monday morning. Let's talk about the show today. We have some of the Rodney acceptance speech,
Excellent. Some
of the ceremony that went on there. Plus, in a half an hour, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but Rodney has done a couple of songs. He's actually a recording artist. A lot of people don't know.
He's done it all.
Those songs are Cree-Pee. Two words, Cree and Pee. And we're going to play them for you in about a half hour here on K-Rock.
All right.
One is I Hate the 90s, and the other is Teenage Girl.
Which
Daylight NBC's Chris Hansen should be listening to.
In which he utters the lyrics, "Oh, woof, woof." Woof, woof, he keeps saying. I don't know what that's about, but we'll get to that. Also on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, the Pope is squaring off against Bob Dylan.
Oh,
I'm not exactly sure what's going on here, but apparently he doesn't like the Bob, and Bob doesn't like the Pope, and we need to bring those two kids together. Because
I hope there's a drink boxing with the Pope and Bob Dylan.
I hope it's there. It's nowhere else. Dave, the King of Mexico, is probably going to have to quit his job in shame today.
Why?
Just say, I quit. Yeah, I can no longer work here because I'm going to just embarrass him on Guitar Hero, too. I've had it with him. I'm going to shut his
saying?
Mouth.
I hear what you're saying, but who has more time to practice Guitar Hero in the world than Dave, the King of Mexico?
Well, there is that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you're a busy guy. You got a family. Yeah. You got a job. You got friends. I don't know about Dave, man. He seems to be at home a lot playing Guitar Hero, you know?
Well, I might quit then. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go.
Someone's going to quit in shame today.
I haven't seen him play, so I don't know if I'm better than him. But I'm just taking for granted. Seriously, it's King of Mexico for God's sake.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I know. I hear what you're saying. Yes. I just when it comes time to put my money down, I'm going to have to think long and hard.
Are you
going to
put
I'm
your
saying.
Money on Dave?
I'm just saying.
I already put my money on Dave.
Oh, sons of bitches. Also, live music from Rise Against today.
Cool.
Great.
Coming into the studio to perform live. That's always fun. And we're going to give away some trips to Austin, Texas, to the South by Southwest Festival. And this is a new music showcase. Austin is the greatest city. It's got that little downtown area where you can actually park in one place. There's no place like this in Southern California. And just walk to all of the bars, this little downtown area. Maybe it's not even a mile long. Yeah. So you could just go from bar to bar. And they just have band playing in each one. You don't like one, you go to the next bar. And bars have beer, it turns out. And that's good. So we're going to send you to this huge festival, and we have three trips to give away this morning. And then we're going to tell you about K-Rock's Ultimate Spring Break.
Wow.
Damn.
Ultimate in, you know, quotations.
Okay.
You might, hopefully you'll never think of spring break the same again. Hopefully. Because it's such a great trip. Or not. And we're going to continue talking about Sam, the Armenian comedian, and find out if he's really going to break the record for the most haircuts in a 24-hour period. So we need to talk to the owner of Electric Hair, which is Lightning's wife, Brandy, who we're forcing this on her. Now she has to be his employer.
Poor and girl.
I don't think she's a huge fan of his because he's bad in every way.
Well, if she can see and hear, she's not a huge fan of his.
Right,
that's
true.
The criteria.
That's all it takes. And in the 6 o'clock hour, also the worst driving record. We're looking for you if you have the worst driving record, because we have a story of a guy that got arrested again. This is his 63rd arrest, I think.
63 convictions.
Right. Not arrests, convictions, right.
How about that? So,
some of them probably didn't stick. I don't know this guy, but my God, that seems like they should have taken his license away a long time ago.
Yes, 60 times ago. Yeah. It just seems like when the judge, you know, when the judge is there and the dude comes in and it's his fifth conviction, you think the judge would say, that's it, you don't drive anymore. And then the 10th, and then the 20th, and then the 30th, and then come on, what's up?
Yeah. So we'll get into that in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. My Chemical Romance, of course, played over the weekend, a couple of sold-out shows. Psycho Mike was on stage. He was going to say, welcome to Anaheim, but he didn't.
Oh, dear God.
I looked up there. That was my plan. I looked out at the crowd. I said, at best, 5% of this crowd listens to the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm just going to look like a tool.
Yeah.
Well, that's always you look like a tool anyway. I got bad news for you. Hey, Hollywood Walk of Fame star recipient Rodney Bingenheimer sings coming up after 6 o'clock this morning, plus details in the 7 o'clock hour on K-Rock's Ultimate Spring Break. It's Monday morning, 5:51. Ralph's here with the show. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, I guess you could say 300 did pretty well for itself over the weekend at the box office.
How'd it do?
$70 million.
Oh, my God.
Well, that was a three-dayer. That was a three-dayer, right? It opened on Friday.
Opened on Friday, yeah.
Wow. $70 million.
Yeah, $70 million.
Wow.
I guess that's okay.
Yeah. It was awesome, too. I saw it over the weekend. It was fantastic. I want to see it again.
Wild Hogs was number two at the box office with $28 million.
Yes.
What are you yesing about?
I don't know.
At the end of civilization as we know it.
I think
Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence are making a movie that pulls in $28 million against 300. Yeah, it's evil on any level.
They had a drop. That 300, by the way, excuse me, Ralph, that 300 made more money than all the rest of the movies in the top 10.
Wow.
Then it drops right off to the third place film for the weekend with only $6.9 million, Bridge to Terabithia.
Wow.
So people were either going to see Wild Hogs or 300. That was it pretty much this weekend. Ghost Rider did about the same, made it number four. Then Zodiac, the number 23. Norbit, Music and Lyrics, Breach, and Amazing Grace rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Shocker in Hollywood over the weekend. 45-year-old comedian Richard Jenny was found dead in his home over the weekend. Apparently, it was suicide. Jenny died of a gunshot wound to the head on Saturday. The cops were called by Jenny's girlfriend, who told them, quote, my boyfriend shot himself in the face.
Oh.
Dude.
Jenny was a regular on The Tonight Show, both when Johnny Carson used to host it and Jay Leno as well, and he had a bunch of HBO comedy specials. That was pretty much what broke his career, including Platypus Man, which is probably his biggest. He also played Jim Carrey's best friend in The Mask. He was in The Aristocrats. He was a comedian's comedian, been around for a long, long time. No word as to why he would want to commit suicide, but I'm sure we'll learn more as the days pass.
We had him on our show quite a few times back in the day, and he was always very funny.
Yeah, funny guy.
Very funny guy.
Great energy.
No.
After 74 long days, the James Brown hostage siege is over.
Oh, no. They buried him?
They finally laid him to rest on Saturday.
I was loving that story.
Yeah. They placed his body inside a crypt at the Beach Island home of one of his daughters, Dina Brown Thomas. So apparently he is laid to rest on private property.
So December 25th to March 10th.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ralph, did you hear anything, Ralph, about how this is a temporary site, that they're going to move them again once they decide where they're going to put a mausoleum?
I had not heard that, no.
Hasn't that been what they're fighting over? They want to figure out some kind of Graceland-type deal where they can bury him and then have people come visit? And
I think they have different factions of the family that have different ideas of where he ought to be, but it sounds like at some point they said, all right, we still have to talk about that, but let's put the band on the ground.
Reverend Al Sharpton led the private ceremony for families and friends. So, James now resting in peace.
Well, there were cameras there, so Al had to be there, right?
Until they move him.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee, he's just all over Vegas all the time these days. Apparently, he was there over the weekend. According to the New York Post, he had quite the time. He and his seven-person entourage ordered Dom Perignon by the bottle. Tommy was drumming on upside-down cocktail glasses for the majority of his time in the bar, and then decided he was going to climb a 20-foot Buddha at the Palms.
That's bananas!
He got to the top. Security ordered him down, asking him, "Not, please, sir, don't climb the 20-foot-tall Buddhas."
Isn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
Reality television just gets better and better. A new show is currently casting called Virgin Territory.
Virgin Territory? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yes.
They're looking for young men who have remained virgins to subject themselves to cameras living inside of a house, and they will be constantly tempted by smoking hot women. And the only one left in the house is the one who does not give in to temptation.
So they're virgins by choice?
Apparently, Lisa, yes. Now, here's the grand prize, though. If you're the last guy in the house, you win a night with a porn star.
Well, it doesn't sound like that's what you're interested in.
So you get laid either way.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
The New York Post says Kevin Blatt is the show's creator. He's looking for Jenna Jameson to host, or maybe even Paris Hilton. Because he's the guy behind the One Night in Paris sex tape. He was the one who released that. So he's got a long, obviously comfortable history with Paris Hilton. I'm sure she's really pleased with that dude.
That show just does not even make sense on any level.
No, it doesn't. But who cares? It'll be hot chicks. No. The casting news. New TV shows are in the works. Eliza Dushku, one of my favorites.
Oh.
Remember her from True Calling and other projects. She's the lead in a new Fox drama called Nurses, a new medical drama over there on Fox. She's just been cast. Nikki Cox has announced her next gig, and now that she's leaving Las Vegas, she's working on a new sitcom called The Stumps of Hollywood.
What?
That title's got to be changed.
The Stumps of Hollywood.
Really?
Yes.
People with no arms, no legs?
Heather Mills is going to be co-star. Yeah, I guess I should have said that quicker. Sorry. Fugly was its working title. They changed it to The Stumps of Hollywood. So it's getting
Fugly
worse.
Fugly is awesome.
It's getting worse, yeah. And Jenna Elfman apparently is back on television. She has got a new sitcom. It's going to be over there on ABC. And I bet it'll be spectacular.
Now, I know that you have had some personal problems with her, Kevin, but I think she's a pretty good actress.
I do, too.
She was real good on Dorman Gray.
Kevin has no personal problems with her.
I know.
She's got personal problems with him.
Yeah.
It's very different. And rightly so, I think.
What are your crimes, Kevin?
What are your crimes? Great story. Mark Wahlberg's telling his friends about his meeting with George W. Bush. Mark Wahlberg is telling everyone that he went to visit the White House weeks after 9/11. And he said, the president came up and shook my hand and told me, I bet you were going to come in here and tell me, damn it, you need to do this and you need to do that. But when you look at me in my nice blue suit, you end up thinking, well, God, you're really good looking in person, Mr. President.
What?
That's what he
said?
Kidding.
Yeah.
What? First of all, a couple of weeks after September 11th, he doesn't have things to do. He's meeting with Mark Wahlberg.
He doesn't have things to joke about either at that point, really.
Wow.
Mark's response, how can you just not laugh? Man's leading our country.
God. Guess what's going to happen to him? They're going to be put to death.
Wow.
A little strong, but.
Geez, maybe for shooter, but not for just saying that.
I think today's the day that the Mayan elders are going to try to rid the country of the bad spirit after President Bush's visit down there in Uruguay or whatever they are. How awesome is that?
They got their hands full, I'll tell
you. Yes, they do.
We've been trying to rid it here from the States and for years and just not working. It's just rough. Celebrity birthdays today. It's just hard.
Bad day?
Yeah.
Really?
I got, let me see what I got. I got Courtney B. Vance from Law & Order.
No.
No.
He's 47. Let me see. I got Titus Welliver from Westwood. Played Silas on that show. He's 46.
No.
No.
Marlon Jackson of the Jacksons. He's 50.
No.
Yeah.
Steve Harris, bassist for Iron Maiden.
Oh!
No.
He's 51. All right, I just have to go with Liza Minnelli then. Liza Minnelli.
Oh, God.
Singer and actress Liza Minnelli, 61 years old today. Happy birthday, Liza.
If your birthday's today, it blows.
No, you're the winner. You're probably the most famous person in the world if your birthday's today.
Exactly.
Look what you're up against. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, I felt terrible about, comedian Richard Jenny. Ralph was telling us about a few minutes ago, committed suicide over the weekend. But how about losing Rodney as young as he was? I mean, here's a guy who, you know, has meant so much to K-Rock over the years. And, just have him, drop dead like that.
He didn't drop dead.
I guess they had a very nice ceremony. No. Friday, they buried him in Hollywood.
No, that's a ceremony.
That was the Walk of Fame.
People showed up and said some nice things about him. And, it's weird because it's still kind of sketchy as to why he died, but a listener apparently said that the K-Rock microphones were there. Is that true?
I had these classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee. Bobby Gillespie was on ass.
Rodney?
No, he didn't die. He just got a star on the Walk of Fame.
Well, they don't bury people on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What are you talking about?
They didn't bury him. He just got his star on the Walk of Fame.
Well, he's like James Brown then. He's dead, but they won't bury him. I see what you're saying.
That could be. That's okay. Very possible, yeah. We played a couple of songs that Rodney recorded on Friday. And the response was universal. Everyone loved it. It was so... I mean, I think we put him in heavy rotation here at the radio station.
It's unique.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that Rodney, gets the credit he deserves for playing the music on the radio, but I think people forget that he's also a recording artist. Mm-hmm. And that's where he, as far as I'm concerned, that's where he really shines. I mean, if he had devoted more time into this direction, he could be a huge star right now.
How many Grammys did he get? Do you recall the number?
I don't believe technically, if you're just counting by sheer numbers,
right.
Any. I don't think there were any.
I thought he
But got, he okay. sure should have gotten one, as Rodney Bingenheimer saying, I hate the 90s.
Why do people send me large and extra large t-shirts? What happened to medium and small t-shirts? Why do girls have spikes on their tongues? Marsha Brady never had one. She's Godhead.
What?
I hate the 90s.
Now, Rodney apparently in a studio with the Sonic Youth to record this song. And if he hated the 90s so much, what must he think about this decade?
Oh, my God. He's been out of place since the 60s.
Sonic Youth and members of Hole, by the way.
That's right.
So
yeah,
could not be
right.
More 90s.
Wow. Yeah.
All 90s.
What happened to Tube Tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercing, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head. Tattoo removal is the new wave. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land.
Good solution.
I hate the 90s.
What happened to Tube Tops, you guys? That's the question that isn't being asked in music today.
People realize they don't stay up and they're not really flattering to most women.
Well, they're worn by small-breasted women for the most part.
Right.
So that's not been the trend for quite some time.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
so that's a little of Rodney hating on the 90s. Did they mention any of his songs at the ceremony on Friday, Mike? You were there.
They did talk a little bit about I Hate the 90s because the producer of I Hate the 90s was on hand.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
But, they didn't mention this next hit.
They didn't mention Teenage Girl?
No.
Oh, my God. I would have thought they would have performed it live. You know, have Rodney up there singing it. Because this song really says it all.
In the gentle tradition of Donovan and Dylan, we have an American troubadour, Rodney Bingenheimer.
Oh, teenage woman, come live with me in my dirty room. Behind the ranch market.
Well, he knows how to sell it, right? Because he starts
he sure
off
does.
With the fact that he's got a dirty room. So that's good.
Let me show you off to all my friends on the Sunset Strip. Don't flirt with any other long-haired boys.
Right.
I'm the prettiest little boy in the whole wide world.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think we could all agree on that. Prettiest little boy, whole wide world?
Sure.
Yeah. It took me 2.5 hours to wash and dry my beautiful fluffy hair for you, my teenage princess.
By the way, 2.5 hours. That's a long time to wash
yes,
and dry your hair, is it not?
To wash and dry your hair.
2.5 hours to wash.
Yeah. To wash, yeah.
Living in your teenage dream, let me be your teenage everything. I'll be yours tonight, like a buccaneer of love.
He's a buccaneer of love. Is anyone further away from a buccaneer than Rodney?
I don't know.
You'll be my turtle dove of sweetness.
Is that good?
That's a good read right there. You'll be my turtle dove.
I wonder if Rodney had seen these lyrics before he performed them.
I bet he wrote it, yeah. I'll bet he did. Rodney, Chris Hansen here. Turtle dove, exactly does that mean?
I'll be your stallion.
Well done. Well done. That line came to life.
We'll go romp together in our teenage meadows of infinity.
What are teenage meadows of infinity?
No idea.
I can't imagine. Just maybe it's a magical place where people are always young and running through the fields. And so much.
Dear sweet meat.
Now, that line
dear
is a little...
sweet meat.
Rodney, what do you mean by dear sweet meat?
It says here in your transcript, dear sweet meat. Is that an okay thing to write to a teenage girl?
My teddy bear of ecstasy, come share my laundry.
Okay, now, share my laundry?
Swap clothes? I don't know.
Envisions of the universe, be my teenage woman. To me, my teenage love goddess. Woof, woof.
Okay, now
here we go.
I don't know. I don't know how he gets into the woof woof because he just called her a teenage goddess. There's no reference to a dog of any kind or man's best friend. Nothing like that. He just goes into woof woof, and then he continues.
I love you. Woof woof. I want you.
Chris Hansen here. Woof woof. What does that mean?
Woof woof. Please be mine. Oh woof woof. Oh teenage woman.
Okay, this is where it gets disturbing.
Oh, teenage woman.
Come on.
Oh, teenage woman.
Okay, all right.
Oh, teenage.
Hand check.
Teenage woman.
Come on.
That's so hot.
No, it's so not.
I love you.
Okay.
I want
you. All right, Rodney.
Is he done?
I hope so. God, I hope so.
I just threw up.
Hey, let's talk about my friend Scott Hewitt from Caribou, Maine, which, by the way, is a town that I have been to in northernmost Maine, Caribou. He maybe shouldn't be driving is what I'm going to go out on a limb and say.
Well, the Secretary of State, Matthew Dunlap, made a big announcement on last Wednesday and said this guy, Scott Hewitt, he's lost his driver's license for good. We are taking it away from him. And a lot of people in Maine seem to be a little bit upset because I guess he was smoking pot and he ended up killing somebody in an accident.
Yes.
And what people are upset about is that his driving record, which included 63 convictions. And, you know, those of us that are not in government, we look at that and say, how does anyone get convicted 63 times? It's not like that was just the number of stops. He got pulled over 63 times. He was convicted in court of one offense or another.
How does he still have a license?
I don't know.
After the 10th time.
Yeah, because the first thing I thought when I heard this story is clearly this is another one of those guys who, unless he's in jail, is going to drive. It doesn't matter whether he takes his license away. It doesn't matter whether he takes his car away. He's going to figure out a way to drive, and he keeps getting pulled over. But, I mean, according to this story, as I understand it, he still had a driver's license that the state was able to take away. So clearly that wasn't the case. It wasn't like the last 50 times he was driving without a license. He's had a license all this time.
So we're looking for you if you have a bad driving record. We want to know how bad it gets here. Like, how many times have you been convicted of whatever driving?
What happens to you when that?
What happens? Yeah. How many suspensions? I guess this guy's driver's license was suspended 23 times.
Oh my God!
But they kept giving it back to him.
But why? Because he's a truck driver? Is that why? Did he argue that he needed a license to work, maybe?
I don't know. He was a truck driver, but I don't know. I mean, it seems ridiculous. 63 convictions, 23 suspensions. I guarantee we have a K-Rock listener that can beat that. Come on, people. Come on. Be number one.
What's also sad about this story in Maine is that this is not his first collision that killed someone either. He was involved in a previous fatal crash, yet still was allowed to continue to drive. Now, I don't know whether he was impaired in that time or not, but this time he was, so now he's killed someone else. And by the way, did you happen to notice what his sentencing was? They sentenced him to 10 years in prison with all but 30 months suspended. So he'll be out of jail in less than 3 years.
And listen to this. The next sentence is the one that kills me. Even though Hewitt's license was permanently revoked. Now, I don't speak government talk, But even though his license was permanently revoked, he could petition to get it back after he's released from prison.
Oh, no.
So he can go back to them and say, I'd like my license back. And they would say, well, okay, here you go.
Apparently they would.
Yeah.
And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, look, I haven't had an accident or a ticket for 30 months while I've been in prison.
So he got 10 years, but he only has to serve 30 months, and he can petition to get his license back.
This is unbelievable.
That just goes, it's counterintuitive to everything you would think. If I ran, you would just say, if I ran that, you would say, oh, I don't know, 25 convictions, 30 convictions, 35 convictions. There's got to be a point at which you take his license away for good.
He needs to take taxis. That's what he needs to do for the rest of his life. Yes.
It does seem a little generous on the convictions, doesn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to find anyone with 63 convictions, by the way. I don't.
No.
Or 23 license suspensions. But I bet there are people out there who have had a rough go of it, who just somehow you plus automobile, not a good mix for the citizens of California.
Jay in Rancho Cucamonga, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Jay. What's your story?
I have five suspensions. But 173 suspended life tickets.
What?
Okay, so your license has been suspended five times, but what is the ticket thing? Explain that to me.
I just kept driving and kept getting pulled over. They flagged my license plate, and every time they'd see me, they'd pull me over, give me a ticket.
But wait a minute, that's all they do is just give you a ticket and then let you go on?
No, they didn't start towing the cars until about 5 years ago. They just let you keep driving.
No kidding. Well, what's the point of that?
You paid a $300 fine.
Hey, Jay, it was revenue. Every time they pulled you over and gave you a ticket, it was $300 more for them.
Right.
Jay, why so many suspensions? What's up with you?
I got a DUI about 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I never finished the class.
Okay.
So I just kept driving on it. I mean, I started when I was young. When I was 16, I got a ticket, never paid for it. So they suspended that, and then they suspended again because I drive on a suspended license.
Here's what I like about Jay. He is unmoved by the state. He can get pulled over, they can tell him you need two, and all he hears is wah, 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 and he just keeps driving.
And the other thing I like about Jay is that this is a guy who's had his license suspended five times, yet he's calling us from his car this morning. I didn't even notice that.
So five suspensions and 173 tickets for driving on a suspended license.
And I finally got my license back in August.
Nice. Good work.
Well, you shouldn't be driving. Okay, when you got all of those $300 tickets, though, I mean, how could you afford to even continue to pay those? I would imagine that would just pile up, and then they'd put interest on top of that, and you just get deeper and deeper in the hole.
Wait. Let me guess. You didn't pay them.
I didn't pay them.
But come on, B. What do you think?
Eventually,
he's start paying attention.
No, if he got his license back, eventually he had to settle somehow.
Did you?
Yeah, I settled for 12-month counting time.
Ah.
Oh, there's the answer I was looking for. Okay,
yes. Gotcha.
Okay.
All right, Jay, that's impressive. Thank you.
You might win.
And by impressive, we mean don't do that, right?
It's bad, but
it's bad. It's wrong.
All right, Mike, you hold on. Fernando, you hold on. And David, please, for God's sakes, you hold on. We'll get to you when we get back.
Right now, we're talking about the case of this guy who finally lost his license and is actually doing some jail time up in Maine. 63 convictions, I want to say, 23 license suspensions. We're trying to find out who's the worst driver in the K-Rock audience out there. 1-800-520-1067. Real quick, we'll go to Mike in Ontario. Mike, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
What happened to you?
Homos in there.
Tell us about your driving record.
Well, I used to drive a motorcycle a lot, and, first came around speeding. I was going around 120, and, they just took my bike and gave it back to me, and they just said, slow it down. Judge was okay with it. Well, the next two times were exhibition of speed, doing wheelies and stuff like that. And
wait a minute, wheelies just down the street or on the freeway?
Just down the street, actually.
All right.
And same judge. It was the same judge that actually, gave me the first ticket. So he was like, son, you got to relax. And he suspended my license the first time.
Right.
For about 6 months. I got it back.
How many times did you get your license suspended total?
Total? With the last time, five.
Five times.
Five times.
Mike.
Yeah.
So five suspensions.
That, it was just like for petty stuff, cruising with the guys on bike night or things like that. And get pulled over and they'd be like, oh, you already have a prior, suspended license. So back in there, and.
Mike, is it?
Time,
yeah, go ahead.
The last time I was pretty much just going down the street like normal, and light turned yellow, so I sped up, I must admit, I was going around 90 to 100.
Technically, if you're going to look at my speed only.
I love how Mike makes it sound like he's doing nothing and they pull him over.
Thing about guys like Mike. They just.
A bike that's designed to fly.
Right. That's why you don't ride that bike, Mike. Because you can't deal with it. That's why.
Because you're not mature enough to know how to handle it. Hey, Mike, does there ever come a point where you say it's not worth the money and the time in front of the judge and the suspensions and everything else and the hassle? I mean, does there come a point where you just say, all right, I just can't do that anymore? Or if I do it, I'm going to do it off-road.
Yeah, well, it did come to a point like in a two-month span, I had to pay $1,800 worth of just speeding and getting my license back.
Wow.
That's not worth it.
That actually was a wake-up call to me, but after that, I still got on my bike and actually sped up.
That's a hell of a wake-up call, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the very definition of a wake-up call. Thank you, Mike.
You scare me, Mike.
These people are out on the roads where you're driving today, ladies and gentlemen. I want you all to keep that in mind as you listen to these calls. We'll go to Elliot in La Habra. Elliot, it sounds like you've had some trouble with the speed in your past, huh?
Yes, I have. But I've gotten my license suspended 6 times. Each time, it was suspended for exceeding 100 miles an hour.
Exceeding 100 miles an hour. Do they automatically take it away if they catch you going over 100 miles an hour?
No, I actually quit doing that, the year before they passed that law where they could take your car and crush it in front of you.
What?
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. What? What do you mean they can take your car and crush it in front of you?
Yeah, if
there's
if
no law like that.
What do they call the Incredible Hulk in? How does that work?
No, they tow it into the impound, and if the judge, convicts you and wants to, he can take you there and they can crush your car right in front of you for exhibition of speed over 100 miles an hour.
That's an awesome law if it's true.
I do like that. Hey, Elliot, let me ask you this about the how many times you get pulled over for going over 100, a half a dozen or so?
Yes.
6 times.
Okay. When it happens the first time, you go, oh, tough luck. And then you go, well, what are the chances? And then it happens again. You go, oh, I can't believe they got me again. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled now. That's not going to happen. And then the third time, you go, oh, God damn it. I can't believe they got me. Then once it gets to be the fourth time and the fifth time, does there come a time where you go, well, I can't do it anymore because I'm going to get caught?
Yeah, pretty much because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Right.
Because each ticket ran me like $1,500.
You could have done jail time instead, dude.
I asked for it, and he said no.
Wow, that sucks to ask for jail and not get it.
I looked dead off at the judge and said, hey, can I just go to jail for a few days? And he said, no, you're not going to get off that easy.
Elliot, wow. You were riding a motorcycle?
No, I actually owned a Camaro.
A Camaro?
Wow.
All right, thanks for the call. He should have gotten his license suspended for driving a Camaro. First of all. David in Fullerton, good morning.
Morning.
I'm guessing you rode a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, motorcycles and race cars.
Okay.
My catchphrase was whenever I got pulled over, it'd be, you ain't got nothing better to do than write me a ticket?
Yes, and I'll bet that got you out of a lot of them.
Got me more.
David, first of all, you probably knew every police officer that pulled you over because you've dealt with it before, but tell us and the K-Rock audience, how many tickets did you get?
104.
104 tickets?
God.
Dave. Did you pay them all? Are you rich?
No, never.
You didn't pay them all?
No.
So
yeah,
did you...
I had to do jail time, too.
Jail time.
I got jail time.
104 tickets. How many times did you get your license suspended?
Six.
This is amazing to me.
And to me, too. How do you... It's 70, 75, 80, and the judge goes, maybe next time I'll suspend it. Go ahead and go back out and keep driving.
No, then they revoke it.
Well,
I got my license revoked for 11 years.
11 years.
And did you still drive?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Dave. Listen, anybody that gets 104 tickets is not going to stop because they get their license revoked.
Yeah, they're not taking any time off the road, that's for sure. Dave, what do you think the problem was there, or do you still have the problem? Are you still running into difficulty with the law?
Yeah, I got my last ticket 3 weeks ago.
David.
How fast were you going? David, how fast?
About 92.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be easier for you to just back it down a few miles?
Yeah.
But you're not going to.
It's hard. You just start going with the flow of traffic and you end up going faster.
Right. No, I know.
Traffic doesn't go 92 miles an hour. It just doesn't.
Did you ever invest in a radar detector so you could tell if the cops were, clocking you?
They don't work.
They don't work. Okay. All right. Well, okay. They might work better than 104 tickets.
All right, David. Thanks for calling, but don't do that anymore, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, we'll fix him.
David's going to do that. First of all, he's going to. And second of all, call us back when you get your next ticket.
Yep.
Hey, we'll give you a prize when you get to 106.7. Ralph, how was your weekend, man?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Anything very fun? Very, very busy. Friday night, I went to see one of my favorite comedians in the world. Named
Richard
Billy,
Jenny?
Billy Connolly, his name is.
Oh, I
Billy
saw Connolly. Him too.
Scottish comedian.
You did?
I saw him on Thursday night.
Went Friday night. We had front row seats at the Brentwood Theater, and I was exhausted from laughing after 2 hours.
He could go on for four, I'm telling you.
Really?
He could.
One of the most fantastically brilliant comedians working today, and he's been working forever. The guy's got to be in his 60s now.
He is.
Why is he not a bigger star here?
I don't know. He had a sitcom here for a while that wasn't very good, and he's done some TV work. He's done a bunch of movies. But he's a huge star over in the UK and not so much over here, but he is remarkably...
That accent is tough for some people, I bet.
Some people have a hard time getting past the Scottish brogue. Yeah, he can be a little difficult to understand if you're not familiar with it, but just hilarious. And then Saturday night, I went to see a TV series premiere called The Riches, starring another one of my favorite British comedians, Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver. They co-star in a film that actually debuts tonight on the FX channel at 10 o'clock, and I highly recommend you check it out. It's a great new series. The premise is basically there are these this community of con people called Travelers, and they exist primarily down south.
Right.
They're kind of like white gypsies.
Right.
And they go around scamming people and conning people out of their money, and that's how they make their living. Well, this family of Travelers, through a series of circumstances, runs across a family, a husband and wife, that are killed. And they basically take over their identity. They move into their new house that this couple was about to move into.
Right.
And they pretend to be these people. And they start a brand new life pretending to be this
Is it a comedy?
It's a comedy drama.
It's a very dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
I went to.
Oh, I like it.
It's amazing. The acting is just great.
Brilliant writing, brilliant acting. Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver play the husband and wife couple, and they're fantastic in it. And it's really interesting television. You know, FX is good for that. They've brought us The Shield and Nip Tuck and a lot of shows that are sort of quirky and off the beaten path. And this definitely fits in with that that model. But it is
cool.
It's a fantastic TV show tonight on the FX channel at 10 o'clock. You can check it out.
Lisa, are you and Ralph dating? Because it sure seems like you go to a lot of the same
close,
things this
very
weekend.
Close weekend.
It's
everywhere Ralph goes, Lisa goes.
Didn't see her at either event, but apparently we're all there.
That's your story and you're sticking to it?
Well, my wife was there. She can back
all right. 6:52, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. 300 in its debut made, didn't do as well as they had hoped. Only made $70 million.
Jeez.
Isn't that like Harry Potter big? I mean, isn't that like 4th of July movie big? That's crazy.
For a regular weekend, it's insane.
You want to hear a good example of wrong man being ultimate wrong man?
Lightning.
On Friday, he made a bet with Dave. There's no way that movie will break $30 million. There's no way. People are not into that type of movie. No way.
By the way, breaking $30 million is considered great.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a huge weekend.
$70 million.
Not a blockbuster. No.
No one cares? No one's interested?
No, I saw it and I loved it.
People don't like it.
Yeah.
Now, Mike doesn't go to the movies.
Lightning's finger is always right on the pulse of America.
He's accurate.
He's wrong, man.
Mike, I know you don't go to the movies, but there's so many nearly naked men in this film. It seems like, how can you, of all people, not be there?
They're all in really great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this movie should be named Psycho Mike.
No, I'm going to go
Psycho
see
Mike's
it.
Dance Party.
Yeah. But I have to wait until theaters are going to be empty so that I could go see it with my popcorn cup with the hole in it.
Yeah.
And
some lotion.
Extra large lube.
Ew.
Extra large lube.
Extra butter on the popcorn.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no movie that's more made for you.
I know. I'm just going to wait.
They're Spartans. They're guys who just work out and kill. That's all they do. They just work out and dominate. That's all they do with their lives.
Yeah, that's right up my alley.
When they're seven, they get kicked out of their home. They have to make it in the wild. They fight animals and stuff. And then they give me, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. That was a great movie.
They just train and fight, Mike. That's all they do.
Yes.
Wait, we're talking about Norbit? Yeah. $70 million at the box office this weekend. Wild Hogs did $28 million at the box office this weekend. Inexplicably. But then that was about it. No one else went to see anything else because the third largest moneymaker this weekend was Bridge to Terabithia, and that only made about $7 million. So you see how it drops right off there. Ghost Rider was number four with about $7 million also. Zodiac was number five, then the number 23, Norbit, Music and Lyrics, Breach, and Amazing Grace, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I got to tell you, it's always fun to go to a movie like 300 and see people who are in the theater that didn't know what to expect. They weren't sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
and storm out. That's always great. And I don't want to give too much away, but
well, there was the dude that with the right.
You know,
yeah, I hear you.
And they stormed out. I they were upset by that. I don't know. Like, what did you expect?
They're waiting for Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore start singing.
Yeah, exactly. It's always funny to me.
Surprise over the weekend, Richard Jenny committed suicide, apparently. I don't know if you're familiar with him. A very popular stand-up comedian. He's been around a long time. Died of a gunshot wound to the head on Saturday. Cops responded to the scene. Jenny's girlfriend called them and said, "My boyfriend shot himself in the face." He was pronounced dead by the time they got him to the hospital. He was a regular on The Tonight Show, both with Johnny Carson and Jay Leno. A bunch of HBO comedy specials. Played Jim Carrey's best friend in The Mask. Been around for a long time. No word as to why he committed suicide, but sad and shocking news over the weekend.
Yeah. If I'm a comedian, by the way, at least I leave a funny note. You know what I mean? I give at least one laugh.
I'm guessing you didn't feel like making people laugh at that
moment.
I know
a lot of comedians, and not, none of them aren't all that happy.
As a rule, they're not. They're kind of miserable.
Funny, but not happy.
Pretty effed up bunch, as a rule. Interesting, some casting news came out over the weekend. Looks like actor Shia LaBeouf is going to play Indiana Jones' son in the upcoming Indiana Jones 4 sequel. We've seen Indiana's dad, and now we're going to meet his son, apparently, in number 4. Steven Spielberg, of course, producing, and I think he's directing as well.
Is Indiana in a wheelchair?
How dare you? Harrison Ford could still kick your ass or bore you to death by talking to you, one or the other. This is a great story. You're familiar with Bodog.com?
Oh, yeah.
It's an online gambling site that lets you bet pretty much on anything. Well, over the weekend, they released the odds on how much you could make if Heather Mills' leg falls off during Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
If you bet, let me see if I get this right. You bet $100 that it happens, you win $350.
Okay.
So 100 wins you 350.
That's not bad.
Not bad. But it has to fall off. However, apparently the no is the heavy favorite because you have to bet $600 that it won't fall off in order to win $100.
Yeah, that's a given.
So they're assuming that it's not going to come off, basically, is what they're saying.
What if it just comes loose? What if it just dangles?
Well, they do have rules on the site,
they do,
Kevin.
Okay.
They say Heather Mills' leg must fall off,
okay,
not come loose, nor be purposely taken off,
okay,
during a dance routine for all yes wagers to be graded a win. So now you know how it pays off.
Okay.
Guys, we should have a call-in topic of people with prosthetic legs and find out how secure they are and how often they come off.
Yeah, I don't know how you dance with that. They're just going to tape it to her body, like 1,000 pounds of tape.
Is that how they do it? I mean, I thought there was some sort of a strappy thing
or
something.
That's what they use, strappy thing.
But usually you're not ballroom dancing with it.
It's toupee glue. and rivets, apparently. That's how they put it on. Yeah. I got a quick email to read here, if you don't mind, from a listener, Hudson. Speaking of the Anna Nicole Smith story. Hey, Ralph, have you heard the latest weird news in the Anna Nicole Smith story? World-famous psychic John Edwards, star of Crossing Over, has volunteered to try to contact Anna Nicole's spirit in the afterlife to find out what her wishes really were for her estate, her funeral, and how she really died. Her mother's against the whole idea because she's deeply religious, and Howard K. Stern is against it because he's afraid of what might come out.
Sure.
So it looks like these two have finally found a common cause in blocking Anna's seance. Blocking Anna's seance. That is sweet.
If that were to be sung, say, to a song, what would that sound like?
It might sound something like this.
Anna's seance, Anna's seance. Anna's seance, Anna's seance, Anna's seance. Anna Seance, Anna Seance, Anna Seance. Oh, 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 Anna Seance. Blocking Anna Seance.
That's not easy to say. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
Speaking of Big Boy, I spent yesterday, all day, I spent with Luscious Liz.
Is that right?
Me too.
Wow.
You did too, Lisa?
No, wow. from the Big Boy show. We were at the radio media junket for Blades of Glory, the new Will Ferrell movie.
Right.
So I got a chance to interview Will and Jenna Fisher from The Office, who just couldn't be more adorable.
Oh, she's adorable.
And Will Arnett and his wife, Amy Poehler, were also there.
Oh, cool.
So a bunch of radio people were hanging out. And so I'm sitting at the table having breakfast. And who sits down next to me but Luscious Liz from Big Boy?
Oh.
Could not be a sweeter young lady or a bigger fan of the Kevin Bean joke.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did she echo everything you said in a chant like she does on the Big Boy show?
Sadly, no, she didn't. I wish she had.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Will. It would have been fun. Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Liz. Good morning, Liz.
good times had by all. She says hi. She goes, I love Convene. I grew up listening to those guys.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, let's not get mean. I'll be glad to hear you say that.
If you have any way to get in touch with her, please see if she can do traffic. Please.
Why
are you so hateful?
What happened to the news opening?
Yeah. News opening? Is that a euphemism?
Did somebody order Mexican?
I told her we have her calendar up here in the K-Rock Morning Show office.
Yes, we do.
She was very pleased. Today, celebrity birthdays. I got the keyboardist for Little Feet. How about that?
No.
Bill Payne. He's 58.
No.
Al Jarreau. Singer Al Jarreau is 67.
Nope. Really for us.
Don't care. James Taylor.
You've got
a friend?
Yeah. No.
Nice.
No. Very no.
Jerry Levine, who played Styles, the best friend in Teen Wolf.
Man, that's pretty good. That's almost bad enough to be good.
All right. Well, Jerry Levine, then.
All right.
So it is. Fantastic. Styles, the best friend in Teen Wolf, is 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the showbiz beat.
The Pope, Joseph Ratzinger, who apparently was a cardinal at the time, has written a new book about the former Pope, John Paul, and his concert series that he did in 1997, one of which he did with Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Pope Benedict has a new book out that's all about his predecessor and writes a lot about the man and his faith. But apparently, this Pope is way stricter. The other Pope was a party. The other Pope, teenagers love the other. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the other Pope just had so much magnetism and worldwide appeal. I mean, young people flocked to him. He was into the rock and roll. I mean, he was a hipster Pope. This new guy, kind of German,
well,
kind of dour. For a Pope, I'm saying he's certainly
as hipster as a Pope can get.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Pope Benedict, I think you guys would agree with me, is much, much more conservative and just doesn't want to have anything to do with kind of the trappings of celebrity that we have today. And Bob Dylan's a perfect example. I mean, he's a guy who, to us seems like an old guy that would be safe at any event, yet this Pope says no. He's too rock and roll for the Vatican. I don't want to have anything to do with him.
Well, apparently the former Pope had a show where Bob Dylan sang three songs, and then the Pope came out and spoke. There were some other Italian groups that sang as well, and this Pope says, no, not so much. I'm not a big fan of that. So we thought, we hate to see people argue, Bean and I. We're really all about bringing people together.
Sure.
So we had our producer, Lightning, contact both the Pope and Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And we have them on the line now.
Oh,
maybe
awesome.
We can get them to work some things out.
Fantastic.
Is this Pope Benedict?
Good in hand. Hello, my Captain Dean. How are you?
We are good, thank you.
Guten Tag, my Herren.
Well, same to you. Congratulations on your book, John Paul II, My Beloved Predecessor.
Yes, how about that? Nice thing for the dead guy. Nice to give the dead Pope a nice send-off.
Right.
It's interesting, though, because you wrote so much about the Pope and about his faith, but what's attracting all of the attention is you had some disagreements over the Pope about how much he was, how much he would hang out with rock and rollers.
Oh, yeah, he was too hip for me.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was always swinging with all the cats, you know? He's out there and boogie down.
I did see a video online of some kids breakdancing in front of him. That cracked me up.
He loved the hip and the hop. He loved both of those, and he was always, he would break dance with the kids and get down on the cardboard and do head spins. He was incredible.
That I never saw.
Yeah, it's true.
Your Holiness, what's your problem with Mr. Dylan, though? I mean, he's certainly a well-respected musician, beloved around the world. He sang Knockin' on Heaven's Door, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and Forever Young at that 1997 event. I mean, what's the harm if that music moves people at an event that the Pope is at?
Bob Dylan is a false prophet, and no one should be worshipped except the Lord and me.
Why was he a false prophet?
Because he is a rock star and he is worshipped like a prophet would be.
I see.
He's
okay.
A false idol.
So it's the people who worship him.
Rock and roll is evil.
Okay.
Sing Heil.
All right.
Sing Heil.
Okay,
sing
easy.
Heil.
Wait, hold on. Pope, hold on a second. What did you just say there?
Sorry, old habits, hard to break.
All right. Would you mind, Your Holiness? I hope this isn't offensive to you, but we have lined up Bob Dylan on the other line. Would you mind if we bring him into the conversation?
All right, if you must.
All right.
All right. Let's go now to Bob Dylan. Bob, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey,
we're good.
How are
we
you?
We have the Pope. Yes, we're talking to the Pope.
Yeah.
So you've been listening. What can you tell us about the relationship you enjoyed with the Pope's predecessor, John Paul II?
John Paul, you've got to go to the convenience, put together his gun. How do you not like a guy named after two Beatles?
Well, I mean, I don't think he took his name from the Beatles. I think that was just their very common names in the Bible.
Oh. My bad.
Bob, would you like to say hi to the current Pope Benedict?
Hey, Popey, how's it going?
I do not appreciate the Popey. Please call me Pope Benedict if you wouldn't mind, please.
Lay Popey, lay. Lay with your big, Bob, tall hat.
Bob, I don't think you're going to... We're trying to bring you two together here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Bring us together.
Yeah, feel free to bring us together anytime you like now.
Okay.
All right. Let me start by throwing this out there. Bob, the Pope feels that you are worshipped as a false prophet, that maybe people like you too much and that takes their eye off the Lord. You have any response to that?
Oh, yeah. Just sing a song, right? Because some people and they come to God's African time. It's a song, but it's own thing. They can't tell their song. It's breaking them. The video's got food.
All right, Pope Benedict, what do you think about that?
What the hell did he say?
I don't know. Well, that's what we're asking. That's what we're...
I need God's guidance to help me understand what did you say.
Are you supposed to say what the hell?
What the hell? It's a phrase in German, means something else.
I see, it means something else. Yes. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, what did you say?
We're not sure, actually. We thought you, with your divine wisdom, might know.
Hey, you got me a Jew?
He did.
Well, right, you're Jewish, Mr. Zimmerman. Zimmerman is your real name.
Ooh.
Jew.
Oh.
Well, he's kind of angry. Hey, the Nazi Pope.
I don't feel like we're doing very much good here, Kevin. I think...
spent some time in the Hitler Youth. I'm sorry. I apologize. But... I love Jews. I love all creeds and colors.
You do?
Well, not the blacks so much, but...
Oh!
No, blacks, I love the blacks.
Come on.
I meant the gays.
Come on. You're not supposed to hate anyone,
the
Pope.
The gypsies I don't like.
Come on.
Oh, I'm not doing myself any favors here.
No, and you're not helping us bring people together either.
I have a panic sweat now.
Yeah, can this guy run a religion? Can't believe it.
The world's largest religion, too, I think.
Yeah. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind, and Catholic priests are blowing something else.
Come on, Bob.
That's below the belt.
That's not...
That really hurts.
We're not bringing people together like that, Bob.
That hits me where I live. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I have to go lay down on the purple bed now.
Yeah, lay, poopy, lay. Lay with your big tall hat.
Well, we have a great deal of station business we got to take care of, and it's all good news for you, the K-Rock Lister. Where do you want to start? You want to start with spring break? You want to start with giving away the trips to the South by Southwest?
Let's start by South by Southwest.
All right.
Austin is a great-ass city, and the reason is because it's got a tiny little downtown with a lot of bars, and you can walk to all of them, and they all are set up for live music. So every year, the South by Southwest festival is hundreds of bands playing in those bars. A lot of which are new, trying to get, you know, noticed or whatever. And some are, you know, existing bands that we play on K-Rock.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this year, the Cold War Kids, the Bravery, the Arcade Fire, Modest Mouth, the Shins, Lily Allen, Block Party, Albert Hammond Jr. from the Strokes. I mean, the Kings of Leon, the list goes on and on and on. As Kevin said, there's hundreds of bands. I love Austin, by the way. You know, when I decided to leave Southern California and was looking to where to move, the top two choices were either going to be Seattle or Austin. I was this close to moving to Austin, Texas. Love it there. And it's a great place to go for this festival, too. It really is. It's the coolest. So we're going to give away three trips. We qualified you all weekend long here on K-Rock by giving away. Oh, listen to this.
See, leave a message and I'll call you back.
How about that? So Gwen Stefani won a trip to South by Southwest?
No. It's a ring back. All right. Don't need to hear the whole song. How about giving us a beep?
Boy, that would be annoying every time you called this person.
How about a beep?
Hello?
Is this Bridget?
Yeah.
What the hell was that all about?
Hey, Bridget, you can...
Well, it's really long.
I know, but...
Stop it.
If you were there, why? Did you hear us talking? Do you have an answering machine like that?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the shower right now.
Fantastic.
Oh,
now we're talking.
Could she get electrocuted or
That's
something?
That's what I'm talking about. Bridget Hernandez from Burbank, you are going to Austin, Texas to see South by Southwest.
I am still going to get fired.
Why are you going to get fired? Because of the time you have to take off, you mean?
I have to take off. I'm still going to get fired.
Well, that job wasn't that important anyway,
it's
let's be honest.
So sweet. Thank
yes.
you.
You're going to love it. Like we say, Austin is a great town. A lot of bars, a lot of live music, a lot of K-Rock bands, new music. Tom Morello's going to be there. A whole bunch of different people are going to be there, and you're going to be there too, Bridget.
You're going to be unemployed, but there.
Unemployed, exactly. But you're going. All right, we'll call you back with the details.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And $106.7 in spending cash. By the way, I didn't expect we were going to be talking to a real live wet naked woman this morning on the show, but that was a little bit of a bonus.
Yeah.
Bonus. All right. That's winner number. That's what she said. That's winner number one. Now let's dial up winner number two. Again, everybody qualified this weekend, winning the New Music CD six packs. Let's see who else is going to Austin, and then we'll unveil the new Ultimate Spring Break destination. You'll love it.
Hello?
Lindsay?
Yes.
Lindsay Peck of Fountain Valley?
Yes.
Kevin and Bean here.
Hey.
Would you like to go to the South by Southwest?
Yes, I would.
Austin, Texas, you are our second winner. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you.
You get to go. You get to see all the bands. We would suggest you see Lesbians on Ecstasy. That's a new band that's playing.
All
and
right.
Thunder Pussy. That would be my choice.
Oh, my gosh.
Congratulations, Lindsay. We will we'll call you back with more details, okay?
All right. Sounds great. Thanks
one more call to make. Thank you.
I'm a little disappointed she wasn't in the shower. By the way, Kevin, your band Grab Ass is playing there at the South by Southwest, too.
Mudbutt Mafia, we're trying to get in, but they're not having us yet.
Yeah, well, say hi to your mom is playing also.
Oh, that's good. Oh, shoot. Shoot.
Did Sorry. You dial Just, wrong?
Well, I might have dialed wrong, but I was two for two going
into
this,
right? I know, that's
pretty
amazing.
No, I was shocked, to tell you the truth, at this point.
My fingers won't dial 909 well. That's the problem.
Because it struggles. It fights against it. It's like, no, please don't do that to me. We have to burn this phone just from having a conversation with someone. It's ruined.
Go through a lot of phones that
Although
work.
The city's Huntington Beach.
Hello?
Is this Shane Gutierrez?
This is Shane Gutierrez.
Hey there, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. How are you?
Did somebody order Mexican?
Hey, Shane, why are we calling a 909 number if you live in Huntington Beach? What's that all about?
Because you're going to get me out of the Valley of the Dirt People and send me to Texas.
But this says Huntington Beach.
Well, I moved from Huntington Beach to the 909
street. What's
wrong with you? But see, here's why he's smart. He's smart because he still says he's from Huntington Beach rather than the 909.
Well, you got to change that phone number, dude. Seriously.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
You need to change the cell phone to an actual, Huntington Beach number.
Fake a 711.
And then you can just fake it all the way. Hey, you're going to Austin to see the South by Southwest show.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Nicely done. The Bravery, Arcade Fire, like Bean said, Modest Mouse, Albert Hammond Jr., The Strokes, Hawthorne Heights, Kings of Leon, Say Hi to Your Mom, Shat, Grab Ass Cheeseburger. A lot of good bands that are playing, and you're going to see it as well. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I hope I remember.
You won't. You do, too. I hope you don't. Okay, hold on. We'll give you a call back, okay?
All right, thank you.
Well, that's nothing but good news right there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about spring break. When you think spring break, what is the location that pops right to your mind?
Well, it's got to be Mexico, right?
Mexico, one of them, sure.
Sure, absolutely.
Got to think Mexico. South Padre Island, Texas?
Sure.
Lake Havasu?
Sure.
Where are they going? Florida? Someplace in Florida, too.
Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach, yeah.
Daytona? How about Daytona?
See, those are all boring. See, you're thinking...
They are?
Yes, you're thinking all the wrong ways here. When you think spring break, you need to be thinking Norway. Because nothing says spring break like Norway.
Really?
Yes. And when you think spring break, what kind of band do you think of? Like who would you like to see at spring break?
Jack Johnson.
Well, you know, it's party. Yeah, Jack Johnson is the first name that came to mind.
Good one.
For me, too.
Good one. How about Nine Inch Nails? How about that? Anyone?
Well, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see them.
This is the ultimate K-Rock spring break right here.
But I never...
Nine Inch Nails in Norway. Par-tay.
Nothing but college students everywhere you look.
Two words, par and tay. You get to spend your spring break in Norway with Nine Inch Nails.
Good bathing suit weather, I hear.
You get on the standby boarding list all week long. You score the new Nine Inch Nails CD Year Zero, which is now yet. Their DVD Beside You in Time. And then Friday morning, we're going to do the grand prize drawing and send somebody to Norway for spring break.
We rock.
Woo! Who's with me? The Armenian comedian is going to set a Guinness World Record this Friday. That's our goal anyway. He is going to set the Guinness World Record for the most haircuts in a 24-hour period.
I think we're talking about Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Yes. You're correct.
I think it's Thursday, the day we're looking for. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we thought we'd do is talk to the owner of the salon that we're forcing Sam on. And it would be our producer Lightning's wife, Brandy. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning.
How
Hi,
are
Brandy.
You?
Hi, Lisa.
Hey. Brandy, refresh my memory because I don't remember the last time we talked to you about the Armenian comedian, but you love him and can't get enough of him, right?
Yeah, right. The last time I saw him, you guys had him sing at a wedding, the Titanic song.
Oh my God, I forgot.
He did My Heart Will Go On at the Wedding.
I totally forgot about that.
Thanks.
Brandy. Oh,
that was a good time. And you still have that on the wedding video when you sit down to watch it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're the only person that we know that has a salon. So that's why we would like to set the Guinness World Record at your salon.
It'll make you famous, Brandy.
Will it?
Maybe
not really.
Well, I mean, it'll get you in the book. I mean, if Sam makes the Guinness Book of World Records, like the last guy who did it, the guy in Germany, I mean, they named the salon in the book, which is, you know, that's kind of an honor a little bit.
That is huge.
Yeah. So everybody that buys that book and goes to that entry to see the name of the salon might give you their business.
Exactly.
Well, that would be awesome.
That's advertising right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brandy, let's talk about electric hair because I have not been down there. You're on the campus of Cal State Long Beach, is that right?
Correct. We're in the student union.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right. And is it popular? A lot of the students go ahead and get their hair cut there with you?
Yes, they do. They actually, it's probably mostly on their lunch break and between classes. We see several students walking
during classes.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient.
Now, the number is 250. That's the record. So we would need 251 willing, you know, participants.
Okay, well, it's a campus of 40,000, so I don't think that'd be a problem.
Well, but they got to get their hair cut by their meaning comedian.
Yeah.
There's enough guys that see the humor in that. I'm sure that would line up.
I would hope.
Because you're going to get the worst haircut ever.
I'm a little concerned. Does he have a license?
Oh, of course. Don't even worry about that. Now, Brandy, I don't know how many people you employ, but have you ever seen the octopus haircut?
No.
That's what he plans on doing. He wants to have two people, one on each side of him, and he wants to be cutting their hair at the same time.
Yeah, that's scary.
I don't think he's really going to do that. I mean, I think I hope he was probably serious, but I took that as a joke. There's no way he's actually going to do it that way. He's going to do it more.
Sam doesn't joke, Bean.
Hey, let me read something to you guys that's going to blow you away. And I think we've got Sam on the line here in a second too. This is an email I got a couple of days ago from a K-Rock listener named Michael. Sam, the Armenian comedian, will definitely pull this off. Anna will be hysterical, and people will be amazed at how great their haircut will be. My story is 100% true. It happened about 6 months ago. He cut my hair at a local Armenian-owned barbershop on Rosecrans and Hawthorne, down the street from my house in Lawndale. When I walked in as a semi-regular, the owner greeted me and said, "Do I know this guy? He's a big celebrity." The painful thing was I totally knew who he was. I've listened to K-Rock for over 10 years. I let the guy cut my hair. 5 minutes later, I was done with a perfect haircut and totally shocked and amazed, not only by how fast it was, but that it was about the best haircut I've ever received. Seriously. This is Mike.
Right?
This is what the listener said.
Signed Sam.
No. And there's a phone number and the whole deal here. He said it was fast and it was great.
See, I think they were just joking around that was Sam. That was not Sam.
5 minutes. That's fast.
Well, I won't read the rest of these, but he goes on to talk about Sam talking to him about the Ding Dong Show and everything else that he's
really
done.
I mean,
certainly sounds like our Armenian comedian. Of course, he gets fired from every place he works after 2 weeks, so he could have easily been in Lawndale for a week.
Yeah, true.
That's bizarre.
Sam?
Yes?
You remember cutting that guy's hair?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you high right now?
No, I just woke up, I'm going to light it up later on.
Okay. I know the chart. Sam, so you're still on for Thursday to go for the Guinness Book of World Records for the most haircuts in a 24-hour period.
Oh, yeah. All my haircutting customers are all excited to see me on the screen.
Because we're talking about webcasting. That's right.
Yeah.
So you have fans that would love to watch you cut hair? That's what you're saying?
That's right.
Okay. All right.
So what are you doing to prepare? How are you getting yourself ready physically and mentally?
Well, I'm ready to... I'm practicing each day on each customer that I receive, and I tell them, I'm practicing on you, and they're just hysterically laughing, you know?
So they come into you expecting a normal haircut, and you say, hey, I'm going to try and set a world record, so I'm going to cut your hair as fast as possible. Is that okay?
That's right.
Okay. And they all say yes. Fantastic.
Hey, Brandy, you've been cutting hair for a long time. How many haircuts do you comfortably do in an hour? And I'm just talking about regular haircuts, none of the fancy like coloring or anything like that.
Well, back in the day when I was a speed haircutter, I was doing it every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes.
Now that I'm older, it's not so quick.
Yeah.
So you were doing 6 an hour, which is a pretty good clip. You're going to have to do over 10 an hour, Sam, if you're going to break the record, though.
Oh, 10 an hour? Easy.
Okay. Hour after hour after hour.
And then it doesn't matter if it's ladies' hair or long or short hair. It doesn't matter. The same time I do finish them.
Are you going to be able to give them a good haircut?
Oh, a design cut, of course. Not the choppy butcher cut.
Wow. You know, this is, he has, of course, Sam is famous for his confidence and lack of ability, but he really sounds like he believes in this.
Well, my concern is he going to ruin our reputation? Because I...
Well, really, yes!
Well, it's really important that people know that he does not work for me.
Oh, no, he does work for you, though, now. I mean, we're forcing him on you. That's okay, right?
No.
Yeah, but just for this week.
Well, I prefer to do in my own salon than her.
You don't have a salon, dude.
You know?
All right.
Well, I guess if they're not paying for it, it's okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they'll know, they'll understand what they're there for. They're not there for the haircut of their life. They're there to help a guy set a world record. Let me give out the information again. And Brandy, help me out here. It's Electric Hair, Cal State Long Beach, in the Student Union Building. And but it is open and available for non-students to come down on Thursday morning, too, right?
Correct. Anyone. It's open to anyone. You don't have to be a student.
And are we going to have a sign-up sheet or something down there? We are. Okay. So people can stop by and
it'll
say...
It'll be there available today at 10 a.m.
I would the Armenian comedian to draw blood on my head. That's what they need to sign.
Brandy, I know that Producer Lightning made you do this, and you're a good sport for letting us have your place on Thursday. We're looking forward to coming down there.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it.
After that, you're going to hire me?
Yes.
No.
Yes, she is. Absolutely, Sam. Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you.
Bye now. By the way, you get a free T-shirt if you let Sam draw blood. That's the deal. Free T-shirt. All right, Sam, you're all set. It sounds like you're practicing between now and Thursday.
Yes.
All right. World record coming.
Yeah. Make sure I have a lot of coffee in the backstage.
Oh, no question. What about pot? Are you good for
Armenian,
good
with Armenian coffee and, you know what I'm saying, bungalows and everything.
Right. Are you good with weed or you need us to provide it?
Yeah, and then also I would like to have a lot of girls dancing around me.
Girls dancing. Okay, we'll make that happen.
All right,
so that's what you need is more distractions when you're trying to cut fast.
That's right, and I'm going to do karaoke, jokes, singing the same time.
While you're doing the cutting?
Yes.
You are so talented, Sam.
Yes.
All right, we're looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later now.
Bye.
If you had to bet.
Oh, no. Not. Never.
Yeah, like four haircuts. I mean, we're out. Did I hear that Ralph was sitting in with Rise Against in the other studio there a minute ago? Yeah. Is that happening?
Teaching him a thing or two. Kids are big Revolver fans. What can I do? You know, sometimes when the bands come in, they're like, oh, my God, you were the drummer for Revolver. And then I just show them a few riffs.
Wait a minute, though. Revolver, wasn't that just a band you were in high school in Philadelphia?
No, junior high, mostly.
Junior high.
Yeah, junior high. Not so much high school.
How did they know about it?
I joined the Brass Connection after junior high.
The Brass Connection?
Yeah, that was my next band. Okay. Brass Connection.
Did they know Brass Connection as well? Or
no, we were more of we were a cult band. You know, Revolver was the smash. We were
that was the hit. Right?
The mainstream.
Cast a long shadow.
The mainstream.
Yeah.
Even into the 21st century, people still mentioning Revolver as an influence. I mean, a guy like Rise Against may not be here today if it weren't for Revolver blazing the path.
We're influential.
Here's a little bit of Revolver.
I don't think that.
I'm sorry, that's Goat Whore. I apologize.
We rocked a lot harder than that. Trust
you did, okay.
Yeah, you'd know it if it was Revolver.
7:57, yeah, the band Rise Against is here. They just opened for My Chemical Romance for both shows in Southern California this weekend. We'll talk about that and hear them play live next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's here with the show. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
I have Revolver. Here it is.
No, that's not Revolver either.
You got a female singer?
That's
Fjork.
Fjork. That's Fjork. Fjork.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The guitarist for Revolver, by the way, just contacted me. Sent me a disc that had some of our photos on it.
Really?
From some of our photo shoots.
I think we need to see those.
You know.
You in junior high as a drummer.
The front and back cover, you know, for our first album.
And you're going to bring that in so we can put it online?
That we never really had a chance to press.
So you didn't have a first album?
Well, we had a tape. We had a cassette.
Sure.
Okay.
Still copies that. You can find those.
Oh, I'm sure.
In record stores everywhere. Sure.
There are a lot of great bands that put out tapes. I mean, there's no shame in that. That's how it was done back then.
Well, if it's only tapes, they'll be, you know, there's never a CD. Then you got...
May have been reel to reel. May not have been a cassette, now that I think about it. Or 8-track. I can't remember how we released our debut CD, but... before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away some tickets to the Museum of Television and Radio's Television Festival that's been going on all month. It is an amazing experience if you're a fan of a particular TV show or TV in general to spend an evening with the creators and cast of some of the most popular television shows on television right now. Kevin went to see The Dexter, Evening with Dexter,
that was great.
That he recently had, which is great.
Love that show.
Heroes. They had the evening with the Heroes over the weekend. Nip Tuck has been explored this year. The Office. Just a great lineup of shows. Tomorrow night, they're taking on Jericho.
the cast and creators of Jericho.
I love Jericho.
Oh,
that's a good show.
I love that show. It's not for you, it's for me.
King of Mexico loves that show.
Loves Jericho. So I've got two pairs of tickets to give away to some Jericho fans for tomorrow night's evening with. If you would like to go, I'm going to give you a little trivia question. If you're one of the first two callers with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of tickets to spend an evening with the cast and crew of Jericho. Here is the trivia question. On each and every episode, when they show you the title of that evening's episode, they accompany the title with a short secret hint about the episode. How do they give you that hint when they're showing you the title? How do they give it to you? Call now with the answer, 1-800-520-1067. And if you're one of the first two callers, you will get a pair of tickets to spend an evening with Jericho. Wow, this 300 thing.
Yes.
Caught everybody by surprise, including Warner Brothers, the company that released 300. This weekend, they were expecting it to make about $30 million. That's what they were estimating.
Wow, double that.
It made $70 million this weekend, shocking everyone in the movie business. It is the third largest opening ever for an R-rated film.
Wow.
It's a long R-rated movie. And they said there's no way it'll be more than $30 million because kids can't get into it.
Right.
Because you got to be 17 or older to see an R-rated film. They're just, they're blown away. It is third behind The Matrix Reloaded, which opened at $91.8 million in ticket sales. And then The Passion of the Christ had about $84 million in ticket sales its opening weekend. So at $70 million, it is the third highest money-making R-rated movie ever.
And it's awesome if you haven't seen it yet. Really good.
Yeah.
And it's already made more than it cost, by the way.
They did it pretty much all in front of green screen. That's what they did.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything that the actors actually touched, whether it was a footpath or a sword or a shield or anything like that, that was all done real. And everything else was done with computer graphics.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite a piece of artistry.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We had Gerald Butler on the show last week talking about the movie, and maybe he's got an explanation as to why it made $70 million.
The reaction from everybody, you know, guys, girls, older, younger, has been amazing. I mean, this film, if I do say so myself, you'll never forget it.
It's Gerald Butler, the star of 300. I guess he knew what he was talking about.
Yes,
because must have appealed to everybody to make that kind of money. Pretty strong. The rest of the top 10 at the box office shakes out like this. Excuse me. Wild Hogs made $28 million at the box office this weekend. That's almost, between those two movies, almost $100 million in box office just out of those two films.
Wow.
Bridge to Terabithia was third at $7 million.
What?
So it goes to show you what people were going to see this weekend.
No kidding.
Ghost Rider was number four. Then Zodiac was number five. The number 23 was six. Norbit was seven. Then Music and Lyrics at number eight. Number nine was Breach. And number 10, Amazing Grace at the box office this weekend.
We have a winner of your question, Ralph.
You'd like terrific.
To talk to them. This is Amanda in Pasadena. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi.
Amanda, you a Jericho fan?
Yes.
How do they give you that short hint about the episode when they show you the title of each episode?
Through Morse code.
That's right. They do it in Morse
they
code.
Do?
Morse.
We got a winner!
Morse code.
Oh, Nelly.
Yeah, just little dots and dashes. It's just the audio of Morse code underneath the title.
Yep.
Do you speak Morse code?
No.
I don't either. I have no idea what they're talking about. All right, hold on. We're going to give you those tickets to spend an evening with the cast and crew of Jericho. Okay.
Brianne and Covina also got those tickets.
I learned Morse code years ago, but only in sign language. I could only sign Morse code. That's it.
I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere, but I just don't have time to look for it. I'm sorry. James Brown, after 74 days dead, finally put to rest on Saturday.
Oh, this was my favorite story. I wish he was still around.
They put his body in a crypt at the Beach Island home, Beach Island, South Carolina, of one of his daughters, Deanna Brown Thomas. Reverend Al Sharpton was there.
Sure.
Led a private ceremony for family and friends, not only because the Reverend loves himself some attention.
Sure. Cameras. He's
and,
there.
And, you know, was friendly with James Brown.
Right.
But according to Charles, our security guard,
who knew James,
The Reverend used to be James Brown's hairstylist.
Are you kidding me?
That's how they knew each other.
He was his hairstylist.
He used to do James Brown's hair.
That's how he rolls.
Does that mean Sam the Armenian Comedian could one day be a civil rights leader?
A reverend civil rights leader? No, it does not mean that.
That's amazing.
I thought so, too. So that was their connection. He was responsible for that hair helmet he wore around all the years. So that's good to know. Tonight is the night of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Yep.
Yes.
If you're interested, you can watch it on VH1 Classic, which will carry the entire ceremony live beginning at 5:30 p.m. tonight. You can tune in if you get that channel on your cable or your dish. Here's who's going in. R.E.M. is being inducted by Eddie Vedder.
Okay.
The Ronettes are going to be put in by Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Zach De La Roca from Rage will be welcoming Patti Smith into the hall. Jay-Z will be inducting Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. And Velvet Revolver, Scott Weiland and Slash, will be inducting Van Halen. However, Van Halen will mostly not be there to accept. So it looks like, well, we know Eddie won't be there because he's in rehab.
Right,
right.
Alex Van Halen, Eddie's brother, has opted out of the ceremony as well. David Lee Roth has said he will not be attending. So we're getting Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony.
Oh, come on. That's hardly Van Halen.
That's who's accepting for Van Halen.
Really?
That doesn't
Why are the
right,
other guys
so,
saying no?
I don't know. I
you think that
Eddie's
David
not
going to
be there? I'm not going to be there.
David would. You'd think he would be there, man. This is his big night.
Dude, I don't know what to tell you, but we're getting Michael Anthony, who's not even in the band anymore. Wolfgang's playing bass for that band now.
Right.
And Sammy Hagar.
Who's not even in the band anymore.
The woman who broke up Van Halen. Sammy Hagar. So that's tonight, if you want to check it out. Speaking of tonight, if you want to see a great television show, The Riches is a new show that's debuting tonight on the FX channel at 10 p.m. this evening, starring Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver, a really dark comedy drama about a family of con artists who take over the lives of dead people, who move right into their house and become them. It's identity theft to the nth degree.
I like it.
Fascinating movie, great performances, great writing. I think you'll be hooked if you watch tonight's premiere. I got a chance to see it. So check it out over there on FX. Today's celebrity birthdays. Finally, we have somebody worth celebrating. I told you all day long we've been struggling trying to find somebody worth talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had Julia Campbell from Kicking and Screaming, you know.
Didn't care.
Not so impressed. Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
The kid who played Timmy on the old Lassie TV series. I've been struggling. But a listener came through for me and told me that it's Ron Jeremy's birthday.
There we go. Talking.
Ron Jeremy, the armadillo. What the hell is he? He's the Wolverine.
Hedgehog.
The wombat.
Hedgehog.
Yeah. He's 54 years old today.
Finally, God bless him.
His years match his length in inches.
That's correct.
54 today.
I'm Ralph. His waist size.
Hey, what the hell? But you... I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think the guys in Rise Against are having a laugh. I think they're making stuff up, and they're going to see what the dumb DJs will believe. That's
no
what I think.
No
okay.
way.
Okay. The Captain and Tennille did not do Dark Side of the Moon. I'm sorry.
No. Tony Tennille. I swear. Tony Tennille, it's her on that. I don't know which song it is, but the... that is Tony
That's
Tennille.
Her voice.
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm going to source you on that. Hey, guys. The band is in studio. They've been just off of two big sold-out shows with My Chemical Romance at Anaheim Arena and The Forum over the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, Rise Against here on the world-famous K-Rock. Yeah. Current CD out now called The Sufferer and The Witness. How's it going out there on the road with the My Chem guys? How are they treating you?
Well, they keep us in basements, and they feed us bread and water.
Oh, that's
sad.
Rubber hoses.
Yeah, rubber hoses.
Basically but, slave labor.
Yeah, but it's improved our morale.
Excellent.
So I really have to thank
Everything's
them.
Getting better and better then.
Mm-hmm. We're good boys.
Yeah.
Is it tough to open for a band like My Chemical Romance who have hardcore fans that just want the guys before them to get off the stage?
You know what? It's tougher to open for Agnostic Front, and we did that. So
yeah.
This is cake.
Well, they're going to kill you if you don't.
This is cake.
Yeah.
So no problem compared to that.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys do a ton of headlining gigs. You do a ton of your own gigs. Is that better or worse, more fun or less fun than doing the playing for more people but opening for somebody else?
I think it's more fun, you know, to play, you know, your own show with your own fans. You play for longer. You can play, you know, songs people will appreciate, you know, whatever. But obviously the opportunity to play in front of a lot of people who have never heard your band before, that's something that it's awesome to take advantage of.
You look right. at it as an opportunity to kind of open their eyes to somebody new. And
yeah, exactly. It's like a lot of these kids, they're really young kids that are, mm-hmm. you know, My Chem might be like their first rock band. You know, just last year they were listening to Hannah Montana, and that was My Chem. You know? And so, like, and that's how young the kids are, you know. And so we're playing to a whole bunch of real young kids, and this might be one of their first rock bands.
Speaking of the kids, I love your website. You guys do a lot of fan stuff on the website, and I, you know, we have a lot of bands in here all the time, and very few do what you do, which is put up videos that people have made to your music. Tell me about some of those that you've seen. Like, you got one up on the front page right now of a bunch of kids. They look like they're 13, 14 years old doing your song.
That one was a shock to all of us, I think. We got that one last week, and it was just, like what you're describing. It was like, you know, yeah, like you said, 13 years old. It must have been some sort of variety show or something. And the kids were so young. And they actually, to their credit, played the song. Pretty well.
Really
better than what we could do. That's for sure.
Which isn't saying much. Yeah. But like,
is your record company going after them now to replace you?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Stunt doubles.
It's, like, it's going to be like the Menudo of my generation. Just Rise Against gets recycled every 10 years, this new guy.
You guys are also playing the Boost Mobile Rock Corps show at the end of this month, right?
Correct.
March 30th at the Kodak Theater. And this is Korn the Game. Plus 44, Rise Against, and Young Jeezy. You guys play a lot with Young Jeezy?
Every day. We're old friends.
Yeah,
old friends?
We used to play punk clubs together.
Well, the tour before the My Chem tour was Young Jeezy and us, and then we go back out with Young Jeezy. It's a long time.
Young Jeezy was on the Pink Floyd record, wasn't he?
I think it's him.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's Young Jeezy.
Now, this show that's coming up, we just had Korn on last week, and we said to Jonathan, we said, tell us about this thing. What's this volunteer thing? How does this work? And he said, I don't know. I think you pick up trash and then they give you tickets to the concert. Do you know any more about it than that? Because I still don't get what kind of volunteering you have to do in order to get into this show.
I don't know.
I do.
You pick up trash and you get tickets to the concert.
You do some stuff.
There's a lot of information. You go to boostmobilerockcore.com and you sign up. You have to do 4 hours of community service. It might be painting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, lawn work. It might be cleaning up. Who knows? You can sign up for a bunch of different things. And then you get a ticket. You get a single ticket for your 4 hours. So yeah.
That's a great idea.
A great way to introduce kids to what community service is, to what, you know, I think people are so intimidated by making any sort of impact on the world around them that they don't realize that there are things you can do in your own backyard.
Bean and I were forced to do community service. It's not as fun that way. Because you don't get a band at the end of it. You don't get to see
an orange jumpsuit. Yeah.
That sucks ass, really, cool. When you have to.
Guy holding a gun towards you, making you do it.
Tim, let me ask you this question, because I've seen interviews with you in the last couple of years where you talk about kind of some of the wayward youth that you were, some of the trouble that you got into. Was it being in a band that kind of got you out of that and put you on the straighter path, or are you still just a thug?
Just a thug. Me and Jeezy.
You and Jeezy?
Living the hard life.
Are you going out, like, after the Rise Against shows, you're going out, like, graffitiing now and stuff like that, still getting into trouble?
Graffitiing's the least of our worries with this guy.
You know, the band and the music was a way to channel my frustrations. You know, and so, yes, and to answer your question, yes, like, the band was a way to get out of all that and to find something to do, you know. And it really helped me through a lot of things, and, you know, it's why I'm here today. So.
What do you think you'd be doing if you hadn't had any musical ability, if you had all that frustration but didn't have something like this band to channel it?
10 to 20.
or 9 to 5.
Which is worse.
Yeah, which is worse.
That would be worse, yeah.
I've done that.
Are you still frustrated, still angry, just about different stuff now?
Just at us.
Just at the rest of the band?
These three dudes.
I think there are always things that you can be really upset about. You know what I mean? There's so many injustices in the world. You know, I think if you're not angry, you're not really paying attention. You know, but at the same time, just being angry, you know, 24/7 doesn't do anybody any good. You know, we're out here to have fun, you know. There's no point in revolution.
But don't you get the impression that that most people aren't angry? Most people just kind of float through life and don't really pay attention or don't really care whether something's good or bad. They just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, and like that's, you know, and I almost sympathize with those people because that's like the easy way to do it. You know what I mean? If you can just kind of avert your eyes from the disasters, you know what I mean? If you can kind of just forget about it all.
Just put your head in the sand.
Right. You can just sort of embrace apathy and your life will be hunky-dory. You know, it's all good.
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that. And also I'm going to get one that says, no point in revolution if it's not a party.
Right.
Which is what Tim just said. That's a great t-shirt right there.
Do you find, a couple more questions and then we're going to let you go in the other room because I knew Rise Against is going to play for us here in Kerrick. Do you find that there are young people, like maybe the people we see in this video here, that get into your band and then start listening to what you have to say and you kind of turn them on maybe politically or environmentally or some way to look at the world seriously?
That's certainly the hope, you know what I mean? And the goal is that they're going to look past the music, into the lyrics, into the message, into who we are as a band and take something away from it, you know? And, you know, we're realistic enough to know that that doesn't always happen with all of our fans, that a lot of times they're just into it for the music or whatever. But, you know, there's more to our music and we just hope that people would notice that.
Fantastic. Bean, you have another question? Are we going to send the boys into the next room?
San Diego tomorrow night, is that one sold out too? So if people missed you here, they're still screwed?
That could be true.
Screwed is such a strong word.
Yes.
But they can still see him at the end of the month with the Boost Mobile thing.
Yes, exactly.
This is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They want to pick up some trash, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Go pick up some trash. Mm-hmm. Ask if that's enough.
Mm-hmm. So, CD is terrific, by the way. It's a road trip album, as far as I'm concerned. It's one of those you just put on and drive fast to. It's called The Sufferer and the Witness. It's in stores now. And, of course, you've been hearing a couple of their songs here on K-Rock from this new record that are terrific. And you're going to play them live for us. I know it's early, but we're going to give it a try when we come back right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
The band just wrapped up two opening days for My Chemical Romance at the Forum, the Anaheim Arena, this weekend. And Rise Against, the CD is The Sufferer and the Witness. They're in our studios live. You guys going to play which song for us now?
We're going to do a song called Prayer of the Refugee.
Fantastic.
Warm yourself by the fire, son, and the morning will come soon. I'll tell you stories of a better time in a place that we once knew. Before we packed our bags and left all this behind us in the dust, we had a place that we could call home and a life no one could touch. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, down, down. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, 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 down. We are the angry and the desperate, the hungry and the cold. We are the ones who kept quiet and always did what we were told. But we've been sweating while you slept so calm in the safety of your home. Yeah, we've been pulling out the nails that hold up everything you've known. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, down, down. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, down, down. So open your eyes and shout, let's be on our way. Broken windows and ashes are guiding the way. Quiet no longer will sing through the day of the lives that we've lost and the lives we've reclaimed. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, down, down. Don't hold me up now, I can stand my own ground. I don't need your help now, you won't let me down, down, down. Don't hold me up, don't hold me up, no, no. No, don't hold me up. Don't hold me up. Don't let me down, 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 down.
Rise Against on the World Famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-Rock. You sound great, guys.
Thank you. That is hard to believe that's the same song.
I know it is.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Tim, or whoever else in the band is also into it, but Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
You're digging on it, right? Because we're having a little bit of a Guitar Hero off here in the 9 o'clock hour between two people on our show. What's the secret to being a successful Guitar Hero player?
Use a pick.
Use a pick? I never thought of that.
Use a pick.
Oh, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. Can I borrow your pick?
Yeah, you can have mine.
We have a few.
You guys are going to be on Guitar Hero 3, you were just talking about.
That's the word. So that's what
that's insane.
Yeah, we just heard that over the weekend.
That's pretty cool.
We're really excited about it.
There's a new guy that just came out on our crew on this tour, and he literally plays it. I don't know if he sleeps.
Yeah. He's really good.
You wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom on the bus, and he's there at 6 in the morning, and you know the bus is still going, and he's playing.
Is he here? Can he play for me?
He's not here right now. Oh, he would be the ringer for your team or whatever.
I need a ringer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
His name's Cadaver.
Cadaver.
We'll send him in.
Cadaver. Excellent. That's a good name. You guys, did you play cover songs when you started, like most bands?
Yeah. I had I remember I had a subscription to Guitar World in, 96. So everything that was a big hit single in, 96, like Pantera's This Love or Temple of the Dogs, Hunger Strike, all those songs. I know all of them.
What's the most embarrassing one that you used to play? There's got to be one that's...
Oh, man. Oh, we got one.
Oh, let's hear it.
There's some embarrassing ones that we're learning now. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like this one.
Here we go. Yeah, I don't know if that's the one we want to.
That's pretty embarrassing. I wasn't going for one that we're going to play, but I was going to go for embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
That
someone taught us that one. You want to hear one?
I want to hear some Danzig. Right. You got Danzig?
Oh.
Lightning said you were playing it.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you come from?
There you go.
Yeah. Nicely done. Look at that.
That sounded good. We were with Korn last week, and they were playing Unplugged for us, and they said, you know what, this is fun, I'm glad we did it, we'll never do it again, we really need to rock. I thought that was interesting. Will there ever come a time where there'll be some sort of a Rise Against type of acoustic or Unplugged album?
I mean, I love playing, because I mean, we get the chance to rock every night, you know what I mean, tomorrow we'll be on a stage, you know, screaming our lungs out in front of a lot of kids, and so it's fun to kind of strip it all down a little bit.
You like to change it up?
Yeah, yeah, it's a good time.
It's always fun with acoustic too, because no matter, I mean, you know, nobody plays, it's just such a loose feeling sort of thing, you know.
Right.
Nothing's ever perfect when you're playing acoustic, you know, because it's such a microscope with the, you know, with whether we do, you have distortion, you have all this other, with this thing it's just kind of under a microscope, and it's actually really fun that way, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us about Ready to Fall. What's that song mean?
Ready to Fall, off the last record. Actually, it was a song that was written a lot about just being on the road and being on tour and what it does to you and how it changes you as a person, you know, and it makes you stronger, I think, in a lot of ways. And then it coupled with the video, which was actually an entirely different message, it was more like an environmental message, I think it really complemented each other, the theme and of the video and the song together.
Could we hear that?
Yes, you can.
Fantastic.
Right. Love it. Rise Against on the World Famous K-Rock.
I know I've been gone for what seems like forever, but I'm here now waiting to convince you that I'm not a ghost or a stranger, but closer than you think. She said just go and do what you pretend is your life, but please don't die on me. These wings won't take me, and these heights don't faze me. Take a step, don't look down, take a step. Now I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. I think I'm at the edge now, but I could be wrong. I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. Perpetual motion, the image won't focus, a blur is all that's seen. But here in this moment, like the eye of a storm, it all came clear to me. I found a shoulder to lean on, an infallible reason to live all by itself. Then I took one last look from the heights that I once loved, and then I ran like hell. Cause these wings won't take me, and these heights don't faze me. So take a step, don't look down, take a step. Now I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. I think I'm at the edge now, but I could be wrong. I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. I count the times that I've been sorry. I know, I know. While my compassion slows drown. I know, if there's a time these walls could guard you. I know, then let that time be right now. Now I'm standing on the rooftop. Now I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. Standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. I think I'm at the edge now, but I could be wrong. I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall. Now I'm standing on the rooftop. Now I'm standing on the rooftop. Now I'm standing on the rooftop. Now I'm standing on the rooftop, ready to fall.
Come on.
That's awesome. Fantastic. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rise Against the Sufferer and the Witness is in stores now. By the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but I checked out your DVD yesterday, that Generation Lost. I didn't get through all of it, but man, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Live stuff from the Troubadour, and you got that documentary about the band, and that's also in stores now. And if you're interested in seeing Rise Against the Kodak Theater, please go to boostmobilerockcore.com. You volunteer and get free tickets. That show is going to be on March 30th. Guys, I hope we can do this again. It was really fun. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Friday morning was the Rodney on the Rock Star of Fame. They actually gave him a Hollywood.
Right!
Yeah, they actually gave him a star on Friday.
Yes,
it's been long deserved, I think.
I agree.
Psycho Mike went down there with a microphone and interviewed some of the people that were down there. Mike, tell us about the Rodney fans that you introduced at first, that you interviewed at first.
They were fascinated with Rodney. Mm-hmm. They're very Hollywood types, celebutant types. They had big homemade sign in glitter paint that said "I love Rodney."
Okay,
and you know, I knew I had to talk to these people. I mean, they just looked. They had a look on their face that they were at like their favorite band's concert, or they were going to come face to face with their favorite sports star. I mean, they were just bewitched by the Rodney. So I knew I had to talk to them.
Do you ever sit and listen to Rodney's show, Midnight to Three, and then marvel at how lucid and sharp he still is?
Definitely,
it's amazing, isn't he?
I think it's great.
So we're all here in solidarity to appreciate Rodney Bingenheimer. Let's say it.
Rodney!
Rodney! Rodney! Woo! Yeah!
I, maybe not to the degree of those folks are, am also fascinated by Rodney. The fact that he can get up and dress himself in the morning and get to work, I'm amazed. Yeah.
I don't think that's what he was saying, or I don't think that's what they're thinking necessarily.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. He can tie his own shoes.
Johnny Grant is something. He is a blowhard. He's the guy who's the honorary mayor of Hollywood. And he is the slowest speaking, and you can he's the guy who you can hear every single pound in his voice.
You can't believe he's not dead when you hear him talk.
And here he is doing the introduction for Rodney.
Each year we try to recognize a talent that got its start in Hollywood. The man we honor today certainly did that and is known throughout America right now. As today we place a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes, Pete.
Was there a Blue Angels flyby? What was going on?
Just a truck.
Well, they had us, like, in the street, and they has a huge bus. It's, like, 10 feet away from me.
Okay, I'm just curious about how elaborate this ceremony was.
For Rodney Bingenheimer.
Rodney Bingenheimer.
Yeah, seriously.
Rodney Bingenheimer. Rodney.
So then he goes on.
As the mayor of Hollywood, I do hereby proclaim this Rodney Bingenheimer Day in Hollywood.
Such a shame.
Wow, what can I say?
Those two back-to-back, that is a 1-2 punch of great speaking right there.
Sure.
Fantastic legendary orders.
Oh.
What a collector's item. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Johnny Grant, the official mayor of Hollywood, Amy Stevens from K-Rock, K-O-Q.
By the way, she's our promotions director. She's the best damn promotions director in the country.
She
and she did almost all of the work. Yeah. I mean, she really, really, really did a lot of work.
She was still carving the star up until last Wednesday.
And I got to say, Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. I know, but they did help at the beginning, you know, raising the money and all that.
Wait a minute.
People are booing.
I gotta say,
we're getting booed. And he's like, I know.
Listen, I hate him as much as you do, but
I agree, they suck.
There's a feminine man standing next to me, and the whole time I've been like nudging him out of the way so I can get good audio.
Right.
And when Roddy says that, and even Kevin and Bean, he turns to me and goes,
no, he didn't.
I swear to God.
Really? <Yeah. laughs>
That's awesome.
Because he's one of Roddy's beats.
I know. We all hate him, but
I remember growing up as a kid watching on television and see Hollywood. I'd watch the old Steve Allen show, and they'd always have the cameras like out in the street, up on Vine Street or Hollywood Boulevard. Kind of the same way Jimmy Kimmel does his show. I think that's how Jimmy got a lot of the idea from the original Steve Allen show.
Okay, tell us more about the TV you watch.
And then there were shows like 77 Sunset Strip.
Sure.
And you'd get that peak of the strip in Hollywood on television. Then, of course, Shindig, Jimmy O'Neill hosting Shindig.
I hope he names all the shows he used to watch as a
what
kid.
What is Shindig? I've never heard of that.
That's a dance show, variety dance show with singers on it.
That's awesome.
You see all the great British bands, the Zombies. You see the Kinks and, you know, of course, American bands like the Birds and the Beach Boys. They were all there. So I say, I got to come to Hollywood and go to the Hollywood Ranch Market and hang out. I did. Met a couple of friends, partners, Tom Ayers, Barry Barnholz, and we started the Rodney's English Disco. And from that point on, playing records and the English Disco, all English music, from there, the founders of K-Rock came in and say, hey, this guy should do a show. So I started my show end of August, 1976.
Damn!
How about that?
1976!
By the way, Rodney, this is a good speech for Rodney.
Yeah, no kidding.
He really does. I mean, is he just pumped up? Is it just adrenaline?
I was telling Lisa this morning, you've never seen someone so happy.
Well, good for
Rodney
him.
Rodney on that
be.
Day was just on, he literally, I know it sounds cliche, he was glowing. I mean, he was so overwhelmed with happiness.
We make fun of him a lot, but good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I'm really happy for him. I mean, he walks around most of the time going, they freaking have me on at midnight on Sunday. So this is nice. He gets a little more in the spotlight, you know?
This band I played, the Ramones. Blitzkrieg Bop. And that song says everything. That started the Rodney on the Rock show. The Ramones, the Damn, the Clash.
Check him out. Giving a lucid speech.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. For being here this early. All right.
Well, it was 11:30.
No, by this point, it was like 1 o'clock.
Yeah. That's early for Rodney, though.
Thanks for being here this early.
You can tell how long Rodney's been around, by the way, because of all those bands he mentioned. I mean, most of the members of all those bands are dead by now.
Yeah.
And Rodney's still plugging along.
Well, you got a star of the Walk of Fame. How about that? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Except for Kevin and Bean.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
300 came out this weekend. They thought it'd make about $30 million. That's what Warner Brothers was hoping for.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it's great numbers for a movie like that. Because it's an R-rated movie, so, you know, you're automatically knocking out a large bunch of the people who ordinarily go to see movies, which is kids under the age of 17. So they figured, $30 million, that's a pretty good guess. $70
million! $70
million? Hi, how are you?
Stunning.
Wow.
Made it the third highest grossing R-rated film in history, right behind The Matrix Reloaded and The Passion of the Christ. So that worked out pretty well for him.
I guess so. That was a great movie, too. I loved it.
It sure was. Do you have that clip of Gerald Butler? Yeah. Do we have that ready? Here's Gerald Butler talking about the wide appeal of a movie like 300.
The reaction from everybody, you know, guys, girls, older, younger, has been amazing. I mean, this film, if I do say so myself, you'll never forget it.
You do say so it yourself? Captain, I can't make it go any faster.
He's great in it, too.
He plays King Leonidas.
Leonidas, something like that.
Yeah. So there you go. Number one at the box office by far. Number two was the Wild Hogs movie. Made $28 million additional dollars. Bridge to Terabithia was third. Just $7 million there. So you can see the drop-off after the second highest grossing movie this weekend. The Ghost Rider was four. Zodiac was five. The number 23, six.
Norbit 7, Music and Lyrics turned in at number 8. Number 9 was Breach and Amazing Grace. Number 10 at the box office.
Mohinder?
No, he didn't make the top 10 this weekend.
That's too bad.
Shocking news in Hollywood over the weekend. 45-year-old comedian Richard Jenny was found dead of an apparent suicide by his girlfriend. She called the LA cops. A 911 call apparently has her saying, "My boyfriend shot himself in the face." They showed up to the scene. By the time they got him to the hospital, he was dead. Yes, Bean?
I can't believe the K-Rock microphones weren't there. What has happened to our support staff on this show?
Yeah. This one isn't nearly as fun as the other.
Suicide. Not really.
Hannah?
He was on The Tonight Show quite a bunch. He was a regular back when Johnny Carson was hosting the show, and then Jay Leno, of course. I think he's been one of the most... one of the comedians with the most appearances ever on The Tonight Show, Richard Jenny was. He had a bunch of HBO comedy specials as well. Was
Go!
In The Mask with Jim Carrey. So, a long career, and I don't know what was going on in his life, but I'm sure they'll talk about it more this week. And Courtney Love's in trouble. Surprise, surprise. She's being sued by a Southern California rehab.
You don't hear that every day.
What?
They say she hasn't paid her $180,000 bill yet.
Oh, my God. $180,000, and that's without a bar tab.
What is that, like full-time living there for a year?
It's the Beaumont Center, which charges $80,000 a month.
Dude.
It's a high-end luxury rehab. That's where Courtney took care of her addiction issues.
Wow.
Yeah. $180,000. The rehab center says if she doesn't pay the bill in a prompt time, not only is she going to sue, but they're going to send her a big duffel bag of drugs. Fine, we're going to take it all back. All that sobriety we gave you, here, go nuts. Then you'll be in trouble, won't you? Heather Mills is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Bodog.com, popular gambling website, now allows you to wager on whether or not her leg will come off while she's dancing. If you bet $100 that it does happen, Bodog will pay you out $350. On the other hand, you need to bet $600 to win $100.
No.
If you say that it won't come off. So the no is the heavy favorite.
That's too bad.
I'm sure she's going to take lots of precautions to make sure her leg stays on.
Let it come off.
Super glue.
Even when she's dancing to Come On, Eileen.
What? What? How did... But what did...
And Antonella Barba from American Idol recently talked to press. Now she's been kicked off the show about all the publicity surrounding her being on the internet in various stages of undress.
Mm-hmm.
She told the interviewer that the photos that were released of her were very personal in nature. And she is she's not how she intended to portray herself, nor will she portray herself like that in the future, she says.
She's going to turn down the $500,000 or whatever it was?
When asked about some of the offers she's been getting, including an offer from Playboy magazine to post, they said, "Would you ever do it?" She said, "No, never."
What? Oh, come on.
Boobs.
So the best part of her career is behind her.
Did she mention whether the oral sex video was her?
She said the photos that were on the internet, the ones that were me, were of a very personal nature, so she was inferring... Or implying, depending on how you, which one you do there, that she was not the girl in the oral sex photos.
Why won't she pose in Playboy? That's my question. I mean, clearly she's comfortable enough with her body to let people take pictures of her naked or nearly naked. Why not make the big cash and pose in Playboy?
Because that was just for personal use, Bean.
Bean doesn't understand.
She was trouncing around in a fountain at a World War II memorial showing her boobs for personal reasons. She was squatting on a basketball holding her cans in a cheerleader uniform for personal reasons.
Doesn't she have an obligation as an American to share, though? Come on.
She was holding her cans amongst six other girls who were also fondling their own cans for personal reasons.
Well, what are you
going to do? Not to titillate you, my friend. As I mentioned all morning long, I've been having a hard time finding decent birthdays to talk about at the end of the show. Biz Beat here. Liza Minnelli I had. Wasn't
no.
too pleased with that. Marlon Jackson of the Jackson 5
no.
is 50 years old today. That wasn't too strong. We finally found out that Ron Jeremy's birthday is today at 54 years old today. That was sent to me by a listener. And another listener came through once again, said, "Ralph, this gentleman has passed away, but I think it's important to mention that legendary American novelist, writer, and poet Jack Kerouac was born today. He created the Beat Generation and, of course, wrote the classic book On the Road." And
sure.
I believe, it says here in this email, he's also one of Kevin's favorite authors.
I do think he's one of Kevin's favorites. I remember it as if it was yesterday when Kevin was talking about Jack Kerouac.
In the spirit of adventure and in the shadow of Jack Kerouac and the American Road. Who is that?
Jack Kerouac.
No one, don't worry about it. Who's Kerouac? I don't know who this is. Why is this funny?
Have you ever heard of a book called On the Road?
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, kind of. Jack Kerouac.
No, that's Charles Kerouac.
Charles Kerouac.
Yeah, same guy.
I don't know who Jack Kerouac is.
That's Charles Kerouac's real name.
All right.
Yay! Still find it hard to care about that.
That's what a degree in English will get for you.
That's true.
That's what makes it funny.
We're not asking you to care about it. We're just figuring a degree in English and all. One of the most, you know, important books in American history, you think, maybe.
I did a lot of partying.
You had to run across it. You have to run across it at some point.
And go to all my classes.
It was on the syllabus or something. You got to figure.
Didn't attend every single session of class.
You never went to class, did you? You're busy working as a security guard, watching people hump in the bushes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying you're going to be embarrassed, and you might want to just pull the cord now.
Going down, man. Going
might
down.
Just want to get out now while you still can. While getting out's right. Good.
Hold on
fingers
a second.
Fingers are stretched out, ready to go.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Carrick. So what's the deal? You guys are going to box, and then you're going to take a drink, and you're going to box? What are we talking about?
No, that got turned down by the man, by the way. The drink boxing thing turned down by the man, by several men. There were a lot of men lined up against that one.
Stupid California.
Bastards.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is the Guitar Hero, and, well, I'm an expert. I mean, I'll be honest. I got the fingers of fury.
Hear that?
That's what I got working
My
for.
My finger's ready to go, buddy.
Dave will fall asleep halfway through the song, so I'm not worried about it. That's
but,
what I'm saying.
But you know what song we're playing, right?
Yeah, of course.
And what band is that?
Well, that would be Rage Against the Machine.
My all-time favorite band.
As well as mine.
Oh! Down.
And that means you're going to do well? You're gonna play well because of that?
Yeah.
How much time do you spend playing Guitar Hero?
Well, when I first got it, it was like my fingers had needed rehab.
Right.
They were bleeding and blistered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when we started to do this bit, I brought it here to bring it in practice. And
right.
It's been here ever since. So I'm a little rusty right now.
Oh,
so
look at him. Already back talk. Already back talk. I'm a little rusty. Yeah. I haven't played that much.
Yeah, so I'm just stretching out my fingers. I'm ready to go, though. Ready to go.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yeah, but I logged in a lot of hours before. You
did?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, for folks who don't know, Guitar Hero is a PlayStation game, and it is enormously popular. I guess Guitar Hero 2 is the current round. And Kevin, you got into it when you bought it for one of your kids, right?
Yeah, I bought it. We were down there. Where were we? Long Beach, I think, doing a Christmas CD signing.
Yeah.
At the Best Buy. And I went in and I bought it for my daughter for Christmas because I knew that I would want to play it.
It's funny. That's when I got it as well.
Yeah, same time.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the way you give gifts, is something that you will enjoy yourself. That's the most important part of a gift.
But, you know, there was some talk. Assistant producer Super Horror Alex came in and said we should all take wagers. And then we realized there's nobody to bet on Kevin because we're all
How
going down on brown here.
How dare you all?
Well, it's just that Dave.
None of you would vote on me. Would bet on me. None of you.
I just feel that Dave has way more time than you do to practice.
But he's
and I think
lazy.
That's what this game is about.
He's lazy.
Oh, Mexico has to be lazy.
No,
huh?
But this
Mexico
one
has to be lazy.
Up, this one is. We know that
that's
for a fact.
This one is lazy.
You got in three accidents. What was the cause of all three of those accidents?
He fell asleep.
Yep.
But all three times.
All three times.
And you know what? I could play Guitar Hero lying down. Yeah.
Lisa, you bet on me.
I already bet against you.
Come on.
Are you kidding?
And yes, I have fell asleep playing Guitar Hero. That's how
I was just going to ask. Yeah. Really? You fell asleep playing Guitar Hero?
Dude, when it's 5 in the morning and you're looking at the screen for like 5 hours, it just...
Oh, I am going to get served. Those of you that haven't seen or played the game, it's basically you have a little plastic guitar with some frets at the end of it, but they're like big plastic play frets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you see the screen coming at you. It's like Dance Dance Revolution, where it shows you what
exactly
to play
like
by
Dance
the notes that are coming at you, right?
Yep.
So, and there's a lot of good songs. There's Monkey Wrench. There's Rage Against the Machine. There's a whole bunch of good stuff. Danzig is on there, too, as well. I mean, you can play a lot of good
Chili
songs.
Peppers. There's like all genres. Yeah. Whatever you're into, you can find something. Yeah.
You know what's funny is this game has introduced me to like bands like Rush and Yes.
That's how you know them is by playing Guitar Hero?
Like, oh, this is a good song. I should listen to this album.
Yeah.
These are the categories, by the way, which I think is great at Guitar Hero. And it sounds like you guys have already selected what song you're
yeah. into, but there's opening licks, and that's where you get things like Thunderkiss 65 and Smoke on the Water and I Love Rock and Roll. Then there's the Axe Grinders category, where you can do Judas Priest, Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand is in that category, Sharp Dressed Man. Then there's Thrash and Burn, where you get, well, Incubus is in there, Megadeth, Killer Queen by Queen, Return of the Shred, if you want to play Fat Lip by Sum 41, Cochise from Audio Slave. There's also Hellman in there, the Donnas. Fret Burners gives you Red Hot Chili Peppers, Queens of the Stone Age, Motorhead, Jimi Hendrix. Face Melters is my favorite category.
Yes,
though.
I'm a Face Melter. Yeah,
that's all, seriously.
That's all Guitar Hero 1. Guitar Hero 2 has even better songs than that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Better than these even.
Better than those, yeah.
Yeah, my my daughter was walking through the house going, shout at the devil! And I said, how do you know that song? And she said, Guitar Hero 2.
Straight off the bat, man. Shout at the devil. It's the first song you learn.
All right. So how does it work? So we're going to come back and you guys are going to play. And the two of you are both going to be playing on a Rage Against the Machine song.
Yes. And then whoever has the most points. But I would like to put some money up. I mean, no one's betting on me. Not Ralph, not Lightning, not assistant producer Alex, not Lisa, not Mike, not Omar, nobody.
Right.
So if I win,
then you'll have shocked the world.
Oh.
If you win, I'll give you the day off, dude, tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave's giving
Dave,
me the day
you
off.
Can do that?
I will substitute for you. I will come in and cover you, buddy.
Wouldn't that be awesome to have Dave filling in for you tomorrow?
Did somebody order Mexican?
All right, it's you and me, mano y mano, next room.
Let's do it.
Rage Against the Machine, Guitar
Hero
2. Oh, I'm going to kick your ass.
And what's going on in the Guitar Hero 2 showdown room?
Mike, that was
hello funny. There. Yes, I've got the two contestants here, Dave and Kevin, and they're preparing to battle. They look like they're both very focused, and we're getting ready to go.
Okay, is that us?
Wait. What about the big intro?
Oh, yeah.
That's Omar, go ahead and hit that.
And they're going to be
I'm here in the battle zone. Again, we are going to be playing Killing in the Name Of from Rage Against the Machine. Are both contestants ready?
Yes, we are.
Yeah!
I think it would help a lot if our contestants could be mic'd, but I guess that's probably not possible here. So you guys are just playing for pride. There's no other wager on the line here.
Hey, B, we just got headphones about 10 seconds ago.
Fantastic.
I don't know what's going on, but Lightning was running back and forth along the halls like if he ran fast enough, somehow he could recreate new headphones.
If there's only a way we could have seen ahead of time, then we were going to need those. Okay. So, all right, so you guys are just playing for pride. Right, and you're
no,
gonna be playing
we're betting,
on this...
right? I want to come in and do the show tomorrow.
Give
what?
Me the day off.
If Kevin wins, then I will give him
but
the day off.
Lose lose.
No,
that's a win for me, but a lose for our audience.
No, the listeners win if I'm on the mic.
All right,
all Dave right. on the mic.
Those of you that are not familiar with Guitar Hero, they will be playing at the same time. There's a split screen. They both have guitars in their hands. So, are you guys ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, let's begin. Match so far. Oh, Kevin hitting a big chord. And they both coming in with thunder. Oh, Kevin hitting one, missing one note. Singular note, Kevin missed it. As they get into the more complicated shredding, Dave's starting to pull away. For now, Dave will close to 4,000 points. Kevin barely breaking 1,500.
How dare you!
Dave very focused and still as he plays, Kevin gesticulating and gyrating around in a very odd manner. Oh, Dave just hit the big bonus points. He is now at 8 times on points. Those of you who don't know Guitar Hero, if you can go on a run of perfect notes, you can actually have a multiplication of your points. And Dave is now well up to 25,000 points. Kevin at 6,000 points.
And Mike, what's the deal? You try to play along exactly as it is in the real record, right?
Exactly. The notes are going to be coming at you in different colors and different buttons, and you follow along on your keyboard, which is shaped like a guitar, and you try to hit it with perfect rhythm and timing. Kevin, struggling right now, but actually coming on lately, still at only 10,000 points. Dave, well over 45,000 points.
Is there any kind of a mercy rule in Guitar Hero like they have in you know, table tennis?
No, it's actually as you start kicking your competitor's ass, the computer version of you on the screen starts to dance around and entertain the crowd more, whereas the loser is feeble and in the back of the stage, and Kevin right now is that loser. Dave picked the computer character, a black man with a big afro, very Jimi Hendrix-esque. He has taken the forefront on the stage, dancing around, going crazy. Dave now at 68,000 points. Kevin now passing 18,000.
Wow, this is a massacre. This is an embarrassment for the white man.
Kevin, still very intense. The look on his face, I've never seen it before, Bean.
You've never seen a guy try so hard and accomplish so little, have you?
Kevin's so focused. I feel so bad for him because, like, much like athletes in the Special Olympics, you can see they're trying so hard for such little results.
Should he just get credit just for showing up at this point? I mean,
Kevin
should just pat him on the head and give him a trophy,
Kevin,
just for appearing?
Kevin's sitting down with his leg up in the air, playing on one leg. The look, oh my gosh, his face gyrating in ways I've never seen it before. Dave focused like a statue. Only his fingers moving, and are they moving? Oh, furiously they're moving.
What's the score at this point, Michael?
Now, Dave, ready to pat. Oh, man, 140,000 for my man Dave. And 28,000 for Kevin. Dave has actually given up. He's put down his guitar. There's still about a minute and a half, 2 minutes in the song. There's really no way Kevin can catch
up. What's
the
point?
He's mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, much like the Seattle Mariners are about 2 weeks into the season.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me hear that score again, please, Mike. Tell me the score again at the end of the game.
As of right now, Dave, 110,000. Kevin, 30,000.
Yeah, that is not, that's not pretty. I think we've got ourselves a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Did somebody order Mexican?
My eyes are closed!
Dave playing with his eyes closed, still winning. Crushing Kevin. Kevin's headphones flying off from his headbang. Kevin furiously headbanging as he plays. His headphones have fallen off. Oh, Kevin's thrown down his guitar in disgust.
He quit.
Kevin has thrown down his guitar in disgust. He has given in. Kevin, do you concede?
Yeah.
Kevin has surrendered, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, the Mexican fretmaster, has proven the victor.
Wow.
That was not...
128,000 to 34,000, the final score.
Let's go again. Come on.
That was not pretty. That was not
But let's go
pretty.
Again.
At all. And I'm glad that's over.
Oh, you got beat like a rug. You got beat like a smelly dog.
I actually did. Turns out.
You're looking for the positive spin on that. There isn't one, is there?
Trying to make up some kind of fake positive spin, but I can't find one. Yeah. Time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067, you get on the air, you get a prize.
It was like Dave was Randy Couture and you were an 80-year-old grandmother.
Yeah.
Here's what we have for being on the air with us this morning. It's a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend back up at Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain, it says here, now has 182 park features available. And I can tell you unequivocally, I have no idea what that means, but it's all yours at 1-800-520-1067.
Mike, let me ask you this.
A lot of park features, I'll tell you that much.
Let me ask you this.
Sure is.
Which of us, me or Dave, would you rather see on stage?
Oh, no. Kevin's stage presence was way... Dave was statuesque.
Yeah.
His fingers moving furiously.
But boring, right?
Kevin was doing the Pete Townsend, windmill.
Kevin's Pete Townsend and Dave is John Entwistle. All right. All right.
One of them is dead.
Let's go to Manuel in Los Angeles. Good morning, Manuel.
How you doing?
What do you do, nephew?
No, I just wanted to let you guys know that not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, I got a DUI. Well, me and my friend got a DUI in the same car.
In the same night.
In
the same car? You were driving with each other, then you got pulled over and got a DUI, so he drove?
No. He was driving. He got pulled over. He got a DUI. The cop thought I was okay to drive. He let me go, so the cop took off already. I'm like 2 blocks away from my house. I get pulled over by a different cop.
In the same car.
Wow. Same car.
Oh, they set you up, dude.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, you're okay to drive. Sure, you get behind the wheel now. Whoop, whoop.
Then he called his buddy and said, hey, there's going to be a takedown for you.
Yep.
Yeah, so I was bummed out.
Yeah, I can imagine. You think? Same car, same night. That takes
same
something
car,
right
same
there.
Same night, yeah.
What'd you blow, so to speak?
Hey, what the... What was your alcohol level, your blood alcohol level?
Oh, it was like 1 point something.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, don't drive then, is what we're saying.
Yeah. All right, thanks for calling.
Maybe you guys can get the same cell. Keep the whole theme going. That'd be good.
Chuck in West Los Angeles, good morning.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
You hey, Chuck.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, so I hear Jacques Chirac is retiring this weekend. Anyone want to call France?
We should call him.
Know.
We should call him and give him congratulations
for retiring. I don't understand what you're speaking of.
Why would we ever call the president of France? That doesn't even make any sense. That's crazy talk.
It's crazy. Why are you saying
that? We legally cannot say those words together, Chuck. Sorry.
Oh,
thanks
okay.
for the call. He knew that, I'm guessing.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
No.
All right, let's go to Casey in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Good. So, a strange celebrity sighting for you.
Lisa May, how's it going?
Good, Casey.
Last night, my wife and I took our son to the Wiggles concert at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Oh, jeez, those guys glow. That's for like...
How dare you?
Those are for like kids that are one and under.
Yeah.
And retarded.
And who did you see?
We were sitting in the, about the fifth row. Two rows in front of us was Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris.
Was he doing the monkey?
You know, he wasn't doing much. He's pretty old nowadays.
Right. Did he have a kid, I hope?
He had what appeared to be his daughter.
Okay.
And, yeah, he was doing his thing. They actually sang happy birthday to him.
To Chuck Norris.
To Chuck Norris.
Did he send back word saying, hey, I'm in the audience, maybe a little happy birthday?
You know, I think he got to go backstage. Maybe he scored with the Wiggles. I'm not sure.
Does he roll?
Good to be Chuck.
Does he roll with a posse?
He did have a posse. He had some security with him.
He had some security with him.
Because he could get attacked at Wiggles.
Because those one-year-olds are crazy, Chuck Norris.
Hey, he had Van Damme on one side and Seagal on the other.
Guys, you never know when Henry the Octopus is going to jump off the stage and take you down. You got to be very careful at a Wiggles show.
I guess. Wow, that's a bad place and a bad sighting right there. Thank you for calling. Let's go to James in Norwalk. Good morning, James.
What a do, nephew.
What a do.
Hey, James.
What a do, baby boo.
What's going on?
All right. I noticed on dictionary.com, if you type in Nigga, N-I-G-G-A, it comes up and it says extremely racial slur only blacks can say to another black.
So it's actually in dictionary.com, N-I-G-G-A.
Yes.
I thought that was the good one.
I was tripping out on that because a friend of mine told me that and I completely disputed that.
But I thought ER was bad and A was okay.
Yeah.
Nope. Not according to dictionary.com. It's, only a black can call another black a nigga. Huh. And then the synonym is the ER.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying it's the same thing.
Yes.
How about my nizzle?
That's good. That's fine.
Nizzle's okay?
Fine, yeah.
What's up, my nizzle?
Did you guys see South Park this past week?
No,
over 40 times they used that word because he was playing Wheel of Fortune, Stan's dad, and it was N blank G G E R S.
The category is people who annoy you.
Okay.
Category is people who annoy you. Audience, keep quiet, please.
Well.
10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Niggers! Huh? Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, naggers, of course. Naggers.
It was an A, not an I. So everybody called him the N guy all night long. Let's go to Joanna. By the way, CNN did an entire news piece on the use of the N word on South Park and how they could get away with it and wasn't it crazy and how come people weren't upset and blah, 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 blah. Joanna, good morning.
A lot of people said, we're going to make you upset by showing you this news piece.
Yeah. What's going on, Joanna?
Not much. What it is, what it do.
What it do.
How are you?
We are good.
How are you doing?
We're hoping you may have something to add
great.
To that.
Yeah.
Actually, I was calling because of cartoons as well. I saw that South Park episode and absolutely loved it. But last night on Fox, they had the Simpsons and Family Guy, and it was the greatest thing ever. On the Simpsons, they have Abe, Homer's dad, applying for, marrying Selma, his sister-in-law.
Okay,
and
good.
On the Family Guy, they have Bill Clinton judging a fat lady's kinkle contest. Then he takes the girls with him afterwards, and his limo breaks down. So Peter tries to fix it. Peter becomes friends with him, and Bill Clinton ends up sleeping with Lois and Peter.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. Lois tries to make up to Peter by letting Peter sleep with her mom.
Yes, that part as well. I just didn't know how long I had. Yeah. Lois said, to make it up with me sleeping with Bill, you can sleep with anybody you want. Who is it? Anyone in the world. And he says, your mom.
Yeah. Oh, God. That show rules. I don't watch that yet, but that rules. I did tape it. Thank you, Joanna, for the call. All right.
Nope.
Nothing's hitting you, huh?
No.
Pretty much done?
I'm thinking no.
Is that what you're saying?
This is really the point where Bean insists we go to some caller. It's horrible.
Let's talk to Bill. Bill has an interesting story.
Tony. He's calling about billboards. You want to go back in and try Guitar Hero 2 again, Kevin? Or are you going to promise to never play it again and quit embarrassing us?
He cheated.
No, he didn't.
He did not.
You just lost. I just thought I'd say that.
I want to thank our guests, the band Rise Against, for stopping by today. They were terrific, by the way. I really thought they sounded great. The current CD in stores now is called The Sufferer and the Witness. Their DVD is out called Generation Lost. And we found out, by the way, if you tried to go see them opening for My Chemical Romance for their two shows this weekend, maybe San Diego might still have some seats left if you want to head on down there for tomorrow night. So you might go to Ticketmaster and check that out, because that is a great 1-2 double bill. Mike, you saw the show last night. Rise Against and My Chem. Amazing, right?
Yeah, they were fantastic. That is a band that you definitely get your money's worth. They will not cheat you. They are just pure energy.
Fantastic. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Who Would Lisa Rather F?
Yay!
Our new game. We have the sad, sad story of the legless panda trying to have sex.
Aww.
Yeah, that's ugly. The best worst movies, we're coming up with our own list, but the main thing that we're going to be doing is continuing to give away tickets for Nine Inch Nails. Earlier this morning, we made the announcement, K-Rock's ultimate spring break. When you think spring break, you think Norway, and you think Nine Inch Nails.
Nothing but.
So do we. Yeah. So we're going to continue qualifying you for that. You get the new CD, you get their DVD, their live performance DVD, Beside You in Time. And Friday, we're going to do the grand prize drawing for a trip for two to Norway to see Nine Inch Nails.
Mohinder! Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Incubus. Also, speaking of Nine Inch Nails, we'll play their new one, Survivalism. We got Beastie Boys, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh,
Alice in Chains, Muse, Green Day, and more right after this on K-Rock.